Spring is in the air. Clocks have sprung forward. Spring cleaning is complete. Windows have been cleaned.
Don't rub it in. I still have to fertilize the lawn, spray the fence lines, and finish that burn pile.
And you still have to go to Premier Oil Change to have our car ready for the summer weather.
That is the easiest of my tasks. It is the first on the list.
No appointment necessary. Easy in, easy out at Premier Oil Change. And every dollar you spend, you earn rewards points that you redeem for oil changes and other services. Add to that free fluid top-offs, free check engine light inspections, free Wi-Fi while you wait in your vehicle during your service, and a free beverage. Now that's service. Stop by a Premier Oil Change near you today. Visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier's in the Holiday Market Shopping Center, or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park. Both locations get you a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
One of the most important tenets of your life is ensuring that your loved ones are cared for even after you're gone. Having a will is important, but can be bogged down in probate court for years. What are your options? Douglas Wright, attorney at law, specializes in estate planning and probate matters. Does a living trust solve all your legal concerns? Douglas Wright will guide you through the many legal aspects of planning for your future and the future of your loved ones. Douglas Wright Law, a professional corporation, 530-243-6000 or DouglasWrightLaw.com.
Cigars, spirits, and diversions. The cigar and pleasure-friendly hotlines are open. 877-DAVE-007. Now, fire up a cigar and pour yourself a cocktail. It's time for the General Cigar Dave.
It is a delight, a pleasure to be able to congregate with like-minded individuals. Alphas. Alpha males, dames who enjoy being around decisive alpha males, opinionated alpha males that don't back down. And as we meet each and every week, we celebrate the alpha male lifestyle. And every week I tell you that we enjoy cigars and spirits and camaraderie and grilling and dames.
We now go live to Reading Colt 45's Baseball with Micah Epler.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Historic Tiger Field and the Colt 45's Baseball on KCNR 1460. We are here, game three tonight of a four-game homestand against the Fairfield Indians. The 45s have won the first two games on Thursday and Friday night on Thursday in a boat race, winning 23-2, and last night winning 12-4 with Schultz for the Indians taking the loss and Wells for the 45s getting the win. Tonight will be a pitching matchup between starting four, the visiting Indians, Fred Seto on the hill. And also for the 45s, we are going to have James Humphrey. Humphrey, this is going to be his third start of the season. He's pitched 10 and a third innings so far this year with an 8.71 ERA. He has had seven strikeouts, so he's been peppering the strike zone, giving up only two walks, however, has given up 10 earned runs. So he's been putting the ball over the plate, but has been teed off on a little bit so far this season. So the key to the game tonight, I believe, is the top three hitters for the 45s. You've got Pritchard, you've got DeBrecht, and you've got Gozo batting 303, 257, and 333 respectively, with DeBrecht being your leading RBI man for the 45s with 15 on the season and having four in last night's ball game. So that's going to be the key tonight, is for those guys and the 45s hitters to provide some run support for Humphrey, who's on the hill tonight, and let him find his groove, very similar to Verhees in the first game of this series. So that's the key to the game tonight. We're going to go ahead and take a short break. We're going to have the anthem come up here soon, and then we'll come back with First Pitch. You are listening to Colt 45's Baseball on KCNR 1460.
Imagine living in a planned community that features a regional park for you and your family to enjoy, plus walking trails, fabulous open spaces, and so much more. You can find all of this, plus the designer home you've always dreamed of at Shastina Ranch. Built by Palomar Builders, your ultimate home. Shastina Ranch is located just off Airport Road on Shasta View. Homes in Shastina Ranch feature green technology, water-conserving toilets, faucets, and showerheads, energy-efficient LED lighting, and programmable irrigation systems. Distinctive exterior features including 30-year composite roofing in a variety of colors, designer entry doors, and of course with Palomar Builders, exceptional interiors. Plans including 9-foot and 10-foot ceilings throughout. Beautiful designer kitchens with granite slab countertops and full tile backsplash. To see Shastina Ranch, just take Airport Road to Shasta View. For more information, contact Rhonda Culp of Coldwell Banker CNC Properties at 949-8613. Palomar Builders, your ultimate home.
Spring is springing, the trees are leafing, the birds are chirping, and temperatures are on the rise. So, your heater's probably the last thing on your mind, right? Fact is, right now is the perfect time to prepare for next winter. Through June 8th, SST Oil is offering 20% off maintenance and 10% off parts with an additional 5% discount for our veterans. SST Oil Services monitor and Toyotomi brands of heaters and water heaters. When you call SST at 241-1167, ask about early bird discounts on kerosene May through July. SST Oil on Windham Lane in Redding, 530-241-1167. Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004. But our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
You're listening to Colt 45 Baseball on AM 1460 KCNR.
Welcome back, folks, to Colt 45 Baseball. We just had the anthem sing. The 45s are out warming up on the field. Our pitcher, James Humphrey, starting his warm-up pitchers. The Colts tonight in their home yellow jerseys with the white trousers, the white hats, black letters that are lined in white trim. The visiting Fairfield Indians in their blue jerseys with red numbers outlined in white with the gray pants. We've got a one of the groups that is out at the ballpark tonight is the Reading Canine Unit, and so we've got one of the canines out on the hill to throw the ceremony first pitch, and we've got the catcher. He's in a he's in a padded suit, and the dog is going to take him down. That's what we're starting the game off with, the canine unit taking down the bad guy. So there we go, and down he goes. So that's what we got going on here tonight. Let me set up the lineups for you here. First and foremost, for the Fairfield Indians, who are now 3-5 on the season. After they came into this series 500 at 3-3. Have lost the first two, batting first and playing shortstop is Mickey Nunez. Batting second out in right field, Tyler Thornley. Playing second and batting third, Jason Paulke. Catching and hitting in the cleanup spot, we've got Davey Duncan. Playing first, we've got Sean Jackson batting in the five spot. Over at third, batting sixth, we've got Ike Brown. DHing tonight and batting in the seventh spot, we've got Zion Hunt. Out in left, batting eighth, Hadhari Wadley. And batting ninth, playing center field, the speedy guy in the ninth spot, we've got Jordan Terrell. And as we said, on the hill for the Indians tonight is number 15, Fred Seto. And for your home team, Colt 45, starting and leading off, number 23, playing center field, we've got Lane Pritchard. Batting second, number 11, and playing shortstop, number 11, Lorenzo DeBrett. Out in left field, number 13, batting in the three spot, we've got Jake Gozo. DHing tonight, number 22, and batting in the cleanup spot, Kobe Zimmerman. Playing first, batting in the five spot, number 24, Marcus Wilhite. Playing third, and batting in the sixth spot, number 9, Eric Carlson. Catching, and batting in the number 7 spot, we've got number 5, Daniel Duarte. Out in right field, and batting in the 8th spot, we've got number 21, J.J. Reeves. And playing second base, batting in the 9th spot, number 27, Derek Kuhn. And as I mentioned, on the hill tonight, James Humphrey, number 44. He will be tossing the ball for the 45s. And here we go. We've got the first batter up. For the visiting Indians, it's Mickey Nunez. Humphrey working out of the set. First pitch. And that's a fastball in there for strike one. Pretty brisk night here at the ballpark at Historic Tiger Field. We've got folks wearing jackets, and we've got a good wind blowing out to right field out of the west as the second pitch there by Humphrey bounces in the dirt for ball one. We had our first pitch tonight right on time, 7:15. That third pitch there by Humphreys bounces in the dirt for ball two, 2-1. Nunez last night was 2-for-4. He's batting .375 on the season, and he did score a run as that offering there by Humphreys also misses for ball three, 3-1 here to the opening hitter. Payoff pitch, that's ripped. That's a line drive out into right field for a base hit there for Nunez to start the game. He takes a big round around first base, but jogs back. And that is going to put a runner, the leadoff man, on base for the Indians.
Right fielder number 11, Tyler Thornley.
And now at bat for the Indians, number 11, Tyler Thornley. Thornley last night, 1-for-4. Only has one hit on the series. He shows bunt, bunts it right back out to Humphreys, who fields it, throws it to first for the out, and a good work there by Thornley to move Nunez over. Now we're going to have Jason Pocky, the number 3 hitter up for the Indians with a runner in scoring position right away. As the flag has now shifted, it is blowing out to dead center. First pitch here for Humphrey, now working out of the stretch, is a fastball for strike one. Middle infield, trying to hold on Nunez there at second. Third baseman Carlson playing about even with the bag, as there's a foul ball off the catcher's mask and back to the screen for strike two. So good work here by Humphrey to get ahead of Pocky. 0-2. Going to be very important to get this second out, and then you don't have to worry about Nunez out there at second. You can just focus on the batter and getting that third and out and not giving up any innings here in the first. Has Humphrey with a pickoff play back to second, but Nunez back in time. Humphrey with the spin on that one. Stepped off the back rubber, spun to his left shoulder, and it was the second baseman Kuhn that was there to try to apply the tag. Humphrey now the stretch, as there's a ground ball to shortstop. There's DeBrecht. He fields it, throws it over to first, and that's in time. Nunez moves on over to third, but now we've got two down. However, the Indians threatening with a runner just 90 feet away from home plate. And that's going to bring up the catcher, number 2, Davey Duncan, or excuse me, number 26, Davey Duncan. He's playing in the two position. Pretty packed ballpark here tonight. I would imagine we've got about a couple hundred folks out for the game, as that first pitch is a fastball on the inside corner for strike one. So a great turnout despite the chilliness. We don't usually get this kind of cold weather in the 70s in June here in Reading. We're normally already into triple digits as Humphrey works and delivers, and that's strike two. That was right over the plate. Davey must have thought that one was a bit low, but nonetheless, he's down 0-2. This would be a big spot right here just to get out of the inning without giving up any runs. As Davey calls for time, steps out. Humphrey, as I mentioned, has been good at throwing strikes as he punches out Davey right there, got him looking with a fastball right down the middle. And that is the third out here of the first. So we've got the 45s coming up in the bottom of the first. They give up zero in the top of the first. You are listening to Colt 45's Baseball on KCNR 1460.
This is Carl Bott, and I'm with Dan Scott of Eagle Eye Painting. And Dan's doing all the painting in our new studios. Dan, you've been doing this for 20 years. What should people be looking for at this time of the year?
Peeling paint, moisture in the wood, moisture in the stucco would be a couple things to look for. And then they know it's time to paint.
You've got, with 20 years in the business, where are some of the places you've been working at around here?
I've painted Riverview Golf and Country Club, SJ Denim, Market Street Steakhouse. Those are just a few I've painted.
The thing I like about Eagle Eye Painting is when you give an estimate, that estimate stays there. It doesn't change halfway through the job.
No, there's no variation in my proposal. I have confidence in my numbers, and I stick to those. DanScottPainting.com, 530-400-5152. Eagle Eye Painting, a clear vision of craftsmanship. Eagle Eye Painting.
A jury deliberation room filled with 12 men, ordinary people just like you or me who must decide the outcome of a murder trial. Experience for yourself as dramas run high, tempers flare, and personal prejudices are tested, all while the life of one 19-year-old man hangs in the balance.
Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present 12 Angry Men, written by Reginald Rose, directed by John Welsh. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store on Placer Street in Reading. Showtimes Friday and Saturdays, 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2, June 16th through July 7th.
And now back to more Colt 45 Baseball on KCNR AM 1460.
Welcome back, Colt 45 fans, to Colt 45's Baseball here tonight in Game 3 of this four-game set against the Fairfield Indians. Tonight's game is brought to you by Joe Rodola's Debt Consulting, locally owned and operated, committed to helping his customers achieve their dreams. Others might offer his services, but his comes with a personal touch. On the hill for the Indians, we have Fred Seto, number 15. The right-hander going to be facing a lineup of 45s who have been red hot here in this homestand. They came into this series 2-4 on the season, but however, scored in double digits in each of the first two games, scoring 23 in game one and 12 last night. As right away we've got Lane Pritchard up, as that first offering misses low and outside for ball one. Pritchard led off he took the very first pitch he saw in this homestand deep to right, as that second pitch bounces in low for ball two. He caught it right on the screws and put it right over the right field wall in his very first at bat. And tonight, with the wind blowing out in that direction, I got to imagine he's got to be thinking along the same lines. As he takes that pitch right there, fastball down the middle for strike one, 2-1. Pritchard, as I mentioned, batting 303 on the season. He has 10 hits. He's also scored 10 runs in just 8 games. The As that fourth pitch misses there outside. That's ball three, 3-1. Here's the payoff pitch. It's popped up by Pritchard. That's on the infield. That was the shortstop there, Nunez, who camped under it and makes the catch for out number one tonight. With the wind blowing the way it is, it's been gusting. It's actually laying down a little bit currently, but it has been gusting. So, you know, high pop flies like that, plays in the outfield, we'll have to keep an eye on. It's going to be important for the defenders to adjust for that wind. So now up for the 45s, we've got number 11, Lorenzo Debrecht. The right-hander going to be facing Cito here. Steps in. Debrecht, your leading RBI man for the 45s as he takes the first pitch. That's an off-speed pitch that misses high. Ball one. One and oh, here to Debrecht. Takes the second pitch, takes a big hack at that one. Boy, he was thinking over the fence on that one as he fouls it back to the screen. 1-1. Debrecht also hit a home run in that first game and then hit another one last night, so he'll be looking to keep that streak alive as he's the leading home run man on this 45 team as he takes that fastball low for ball two, 2-1. On deck, we've got Gozo, the left fielder, who has also been red hot this series, batting .333 on the season, as Debrecht takes that pitch there in the dirt for ball three. So 3-1. So far, Cito having a little trouble finding the strike zone. And he bounces that one in also to Debrecht for ball four. And Debrecht is going to take a jog down to first. So something to keep an eye on, and something that was a big issue on Thursday night was the Indians pitchers not being able to find the strike zone. As in the sixth inning, when the 45s put up a 12 spot, eight of those were off either hit by pitch or by walks. So finding the strike zone going to be very important for Cito tonight early. As Debrecht is off of first, he's got a modest lead over there, leaning back. Gozo takes the first pitch there low. That misses. Ball one. Infield playing double play depth. Outfield pretty straight away. The center fielder, Terrell, playing Gozo to pull. But playing a little bit shallow out there. And there goes Debrecht. He's looking for a second. The throwdown is in time, and he is punched out. Great throw there by the Indians catcher Duncan, Davey Duncan, to punch out Debrecht at second, who is caught stealing. And I don't know, I didn't fully see the jump. It didn't look like it was a great jump. But it was also a good throw there by Duncan. And Gozo takes that off-speed pitch over, looking for strike two. The count now 1-2. So the 45s looking to be aggressive early, trying to get a jump out on the base path as Gozo takes that off-speed pitch. That almost looked like a sinker. Down low for ball two, 2-2. Got the DH Zimmerman, Kobe Zimmerman on deck as that breaking ball misses inside, and that runs the count full. So Cito, with each of the three batters he's faced, has gotten to three balls. And Gozo's way out in front of that off-speed pitch, fouls it up the third base side. Some 45s try to make a barehanded play, but it bounces off the screen, so he stays alive. Cito working out of the set, misses with the off-speed pitch low, and there goes Gozo. He's taking a walk down to first, too. So two walks here in the first.
Number 22.
Given up by Cito. And now we've got Kobe Zimmerman, the DH, stepping to the plate, the right-hander. Going to look to put the ball in play, but however, I have to imagine, with the way that Cito's struggled to find the strike zone so far, you might want to sit back and take a couple, but the 45s have been aggressive, and they stay aggressive there as Zimmerman swings through that fastball for strike one. The 45s this entire series have been extremely aggressive, swinging at a lot of first pitch, a lot of first pitches in the at-bat. But it's obviously paid off for them. So Cito working out of the stretch here. He delivers. And that's a fastball that misses low and inside for ball one. Zimmerman hitting .267 on the season. He's got 8 hits in 30 plate appearances. And he also has 6 RBIs so far this season. Cito looks over at Gozo at first, who has a modest lead. And Zimmerman swings through that fastball. That one went down low in the zone. He went down to try to go get that one. Looked like he might have pulled his head off of it just a little bit, but that takes the count to 1-2. Infield straightaway. We've got the first baseman, Marcus Wilhite, on deck for the 45s. Cito out of the stretch. He delivers. And there's a rip there by Zimmerman. That's out to right field. And there was Thornley out there on right, probably about 5 to 6 feet in front of the warning track to make the catch for out number 3. So we've got a scoreless first inning here. We'll be back for the top of the second with the Indians coming up. You're listening to Colt 45's Baseball on KCNR 1460.
As an APS worker from Shasta County, I protect older adults and those over 18 who are vulnerable on a daily basis. But I know that sometimes elder and dependent adult abuse isn't obvious. We need you and all members of the community to help us identify and report potential victims of abuse, neglect, and exploitation. Signs of potential abuse include unexplained changes in behavior or personal hygiene or lack of basic necessities. No abuse, report abuse by calling Adult Protective Services at 225-5798 or learn more by visiting ShastaHHSA.net.
JPR and U.S. Bank welcome Chris Isaak back to Redding's historic Cascade Theater June 27th. Heartthrob, crooner, and Grammy nominee Chris Isaak brings his velvet voice and rockabilly roots to the intimate Cascade Theater stage with his trademark high-energy, flashy, and personable style. Wednesday, June 27th at 7:30. General public tickets and limited VIP meet-and-greet tickets at 530-243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
Cinerama presents Bruise by the Bridge at Turtle Bay Exploration Park on Friday, June 15th. Join us at the Sundial Bridge for craft beers from some of Northern California's favorite breweries, live music, tasty food, and fun activities. Tickets are $10 in advance, $15 at the gate, and includes your first full beer. All proceeds support Turtle Bay's education programs and exhibitions. This 21 and older event is sure to sell out, so buy your tickets for Bruise by the Bridge now at turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park, isn't it wonderful?
And now back to more Colt 45 Baseball on KCNR AM 1460.
Welcome back to Colt 45's Baseball as we had the first baseman, Sean Jackson, up as he bounced one right back to the pitcher, Humphrey, who jogs it on over, tosses it to Wilhite for out number 1 here in the top of the second. Tonight's ball game brought to you by Joe Rodola's Debt Consulting, locally owned and operated, committed to helping his customers achieve their dreams. Others might offer his services, but his comes with a personal touch. And that's going to bring up Ike Brown, the third baseman, batting out of the sixth spot. As that first delivery there by Humphrey, Brown swings through it, the fastball for strike 1. Humphrey working quickly. Here comes the second pitch. That one also, Brown takes that one looking for strike 2. Humphrey quickly ahead, 0-2 here. On deck, we've got Zion Hunt. Humphrey works out of the set, delivers, and there's a ground ball to Kuhn, who moves to his right. Great backhanded play, turns, fires, and gets Brown out at first. Great play over there by Kuhn. He showed a lot of range to his right. That ball was hit sharply. Planted, good footwork, made a strong throw over to Wilhite at first for out number 2. So good defense there by the 45s. Humphrey's got to love that, because when you've got a guy that peppers the strike zone like he does, he can allow the Indians to put the ball in play and let his defense work behind him. So here we go. We've got Zion Hunt up to bat as Humphrey's first offering there was a breaking ball that had Hunt out in front, who fouled it down the left field line for strike 1. Second offering there by Humphrey, another fastball, and that's over the plate for strike 2. So he can make real quick work of the Indians here in the top of the second. And here's the third pitch. That one is a fastball, misses outside, looking to get Hunt to chase out there. That takes the count to 1-2. Straight away, outfield also straight away. The right fielder playing a bit deeper out there, like I said, because of that wind that's blown out there. There's another breaking ball by Humphrey, and Hunt fouls it off over to the third base side. Good play over there by the Indians' third base coach, who made a barehanded grab. Put him in, coach. He's looking to get some reps. Humphrey out of the set here. Here's the windup and the pitch. Ooh, fastball. That was very close on the inside corner. A great frame job there by Duarte. They thought they had Hunt rung up, but the home plate umpire didn't buy. Here's Humphrey now, and there's a fly ball. That's pulled well down the line. That's going to be out of play. As you can see, the wind pushed that one back into play, actually. If Gozo had made a run at it, he might. I mean, he would have really had to get on his horse to get over there, but the wind did hold it up and kept it in play. That ball was hooking, but the wind pushed it out. So here's Humphrey now working out of the stretch. And he gets Hunt to chase a breaking ball that bounced well before the plate for a swinging strike three, and that is quick work there by Humphrey. Takes care of the Indians 1-2-3 in the top of the second. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Colt 45's Baseball on KCNR 1460.
Are you struggling financially? Swallowed up in debt? Are you looking to buy a house but are not sure of your credit standing?
What does that credit score even mean?
Why are there three different bureaus?
What score is most important?
Looking for a local expert?
Give me, Joe Rodola, a call. Your credit affects everything from borrowing money to landing that perfect job. With over 40 years of providing financial services, I am committed to helping you achieve your goal. I can provide you with full credit report and in-depth review for only $25. Let me provide you with the tools you need to improve your credit standing and your financial freedom. Give me a call today, Joe Rodola, 941-3021, or on the web at jrdebtconsulting.com. Your local choice in credit repair.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
And now back to more Colt 45's baseball action on KCNR AM 1460.
Welcome back to Historic Tiger Field. Here with the Colt 45s against the Fairfield Indians, we're in the bottom of the second. Tonight's ball game brought to you by Joe Rodola's Debt Consulting, locally owned and operated, committed to helping his customers achieve their dreams. Others might offer his services, but his comes with a personal touch. We've got the 5-6-7 hitters up here for the 45s. It's Marcus Wilhite, the first baseman, as he takes the first pitch, a fastball up high that misses for ball one. Wilhite went 1-for-4 last night. He's only batting 188 on the season as he takes that pitch inside and high for ball two. 2-0. Wilhite has drawn 8 walks on the season, though. So, you know, whereas he might, and let me see, he's only got 5 strikeouts as well. So he must be putting the ball in play, just not finding the right holes. As he walks here on 4 pitches, so that walk count's going to go up. And that's a good start for the 45s here in the second, having the leadoff runner on, and that's going to bring up the third baseman, Eric Carlson. So Cito now going to be working out of the stretch. Indians middle infield at double play depth. As it is downright chilly out here, folks. I got to be honest. I'm seeing a lot of shawls, a lot of long sleeves, and a lot of sweatshirts. The first pitch here to Carlson, he takes as a fastball inside on the inside corner. First strike one. Carlson batting .333 on the season. He's 7-for-21. And he has 5 RBIs. Also has 6 walks, just like his predecessor, Wilhite. Cito working out of the stretch. There's a fastball for strike two. Carlson seems to be a little bit confused. He held off on both of those pitches. Wonder if he's picking it up out of Cito's hand. Will Hite with a short lead over there at first. Center fielder Terrell playing pretty shallow out there. As Carlson waits. There's the pitch. That's a fastball high for ball one. One and two. Good location there by Cito. Trying to get Carlson to chase one up out of the zone. Catcher Daniel Duarte is on deck. As Cito working out of the stretch. Here he comes. His delivery misses low. That's a fastball in the dirt for ball two. Now two and two against Carlson. Carlson on Thursday night went 3-for-6. He scored twice in that ball game. And then last night, going 1-for-4 against Schultz. As there's a pop-up, that's over at the third base. The wind kind of pushing it now into short left field. There's the that was the shortstop Nunez who ended up making the play there. Sorry for the delay, and Will Hite scampers back to first. And that gives the 45s one out here in the bottom of the second.
Your catcher, number 5, Daniel Duarte.
So that brings up Duarte. Cito checks Will Hite over at first. Indians infield still in double play depth. Will Hite bluffed. Oh, he had a great jump. And then he stopped probably a third of the way there. I'm not sure why he stopped because Cito didn't even see him. Cito looked and then double checked back. Will Hite took 5 or 6 hard steps towards second and then put the brakes on as that pitch did miss outside for a ball. Here's Duarte now. Ooh, looking to pull one down the left field line there. Swings through that fastball. 1-1. Duarte was 2-for-4 on Thursday. And had the night off last night, it looks like. As he swings through that pitch there as well, 1-2. So taking the night off last night, he's going to be looking to get back in the groove here. But is quickly behind in the count. To Cito, who's working out of the stretch. Will Hite with a modest lead over there off of first. We've got J.J. Reeves, the right fielder, on deck for the 45s. As Duarte puts one into play there, that's a liner that misses. It's diving Nunez at shortstop, just out of the reach of his glove. And Duarte, with his third hit of the series, moves Will Hite over to second. The 45s putting some pressure on the Indians here in the second with runners at first and second now. With just one out, and we've got the left-handed Reeves coming to the plate. We had a quick meeting there by Duncan and Cito out at the mound. Not sure what they were discussing. Probably discussing what they wanted to do here with runners on at first and second. Infield still at double play depth. And we've got the second baseman, Derek Kuhn, on deck for the 45s. Aceto's working out of the stretch, delivers. That one catches the outside. Good fastball there for strike one. Jackson, the first baseman for the Indians, not holding on Duarte at all, who has a modest lead. Oh, here's the shortstop behind Will Hite, who is looking to pick him off there as Reeves just poked one down the third baseline. That's foul for strike two. So quickly down 0-2. Good play there by Nunez of the Indians, who snuck in behind Will Hite, who had a generous lead. And I think if Cito had looked back, might have gone with the pickoff play there, and they might have had Will Hite covered. But nonetheless, works out well. Turns into a foul ball strike. Cito delivers here. As Reeves takes that one, that was a fastball that was outside for ball one. Once again, Cito, that's a good 0-2 pitch. Don't want to put something in there too close. Maybe try to get Reeves to chase one. Maybe set him up outside, bring in the breaking ball that's breaking down into his back foot or something like that. As that delivery there is fouled back behind the plate, Good job there by Reeves to stay alive in the at-bat, as it is still 1-2. Third baseman Brown playing about a step or two behind third base over there. They'll be looking to him with anything on the infield to get the force of on Will Height. As Cito looks, Will Height back to second, and there's a chopper off the infield plate. Cito takes it, throws over to first to get Reeves in time. Will Height had made a round around third base and slipped on the grass, and there was a throw over. Good throw there by the first baseman Jackson. Brown was there covering, but Will Height was able to get back in time. And that, good thing he did, because now that first chop off the bat there of Reeves took a big high hop, so Cito's only play was the first, and that now gives the 45s runners at second and third, so threatening here with two down in the bottom of the second. And that's going to bring up, as I mentioned, the second baseman, Derek Kuhn. Cito's still working. Out of the stretch, delivers at the fastball. Misses low for ball one. So Kuhn also had the night off last night, but he had his 45s debut on Thursday and played very well, reaching base in each of his at-bat that evening. As there's a pop-up down the right field line, and that's going to be Thornley out there and right that makes the play for the Indians. Threat is demolished, we'll say. Demolish is a good one. So that's going to end the second here for the 45s. We got a 0-0 ball game. You're listening to Colt 45s Baseball on KCNR 1460.
Hi, this is Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. Join me at 9 a.m. every Wednesday for Generations Talk Radio right here on KCNR 1460. Topics will include resources and businesses that you need to know about. We will talk money, travel, healthcare, and more. Embrace aging. Listen to Generations Talk Radio, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. here on KCNR 1460. Archive shows at generationstalkradio.com.
Morgan Stanley values long-term relationships with its clients.
Rick Hill and Rory Greek, financial advisors of Morgan Stanley's Reading office, know that building relationships begins with getting to know each client. Everyone has different goals, from planning for retirement to saving for a child's education.
Rick and Rory with the Pathfinder Group at Morgan Stanley can create personal investment strategies to help you meet your retirement, education, wealth transfer, and other financial needs. So call Rick or Rory at 223-4200. That's 223-4200.
Investments and services are offered through Morgan Stanley Smith Barney, LLC. Member SIPC.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
You're listening to Colt 45's Baseball on KCNR AM 1460.
Welcome back to Colt 45's Baseball, fans. We're here in the top of the third. We've got our beer batter tonight. It's the left fielder, Hadhari Wadley, for the Indians. Humphrey, who likes to work quickly, throws him a fastball, and that's strike one. Swinging. Tonight's ball game brought to you by Joe Rodola's Debt Consulting, locally owned and operated, committed to helping his customers achieve their dreams. Others might offer his services, but his comes with a personal touch. As the second offering there by Humphrey bounces away from the catcher Duarte for ball one, 1-1 on Wadley. Wadley was 0-for-3 in the game on Thursday as he hits a grounder to shortstop. That was a great catch over there by DeBrecht, who tried to make a Derek Jeter-esque type throw off the hop as he had to move sharply to his left. Or to his right, excuse me, but Wadley was too quick and was able to beat out the throw there for, that's going to be an infield single. That was going to be a tough play for DeBrecht out there short. And that brings up the number nine hitter. It's the center fielder, Jordan Terrell, who batted leadoff in the first game of the series, and he takes a breaking ball there in for strike one. Wadley with a pretty good lead over at first. Oh, and there it goes, and Humphrey's got it picked off. They throw it down to second, and they've got Wadley covered. So Wadley took off before Humphrey made his move, who threw over to Wilhite at first and then threw over to DeBrecht, the shortstop, who went to cover, and they applied the tag. Good defensive play there by the 45s. You got to imagine that was a bit of a base running mistake over there by Wadley, making his jump before Humphrey committed to delivering home. So now Terrell, 0-1, with nobody on, as he swings. Oh, that was a foul ball that hit him in the ankle. Oh, and he is down. Ooh, he hit that ball hard, and it bounced right into his ankle. He went down in a heap. He's up now, though, looking to walk it off. That's a tough play. I mean, that one always hurts. Anything against the bone there. He's still walking around. He's shaking it, holding it off. Definitely going to stay in the ball game. Tough player, Terrell out there. Real athletic defensively on Thursday. He was fantastic. Covered a lot of ground out there and made some really nice plays out there in center for the Fairfield Indians. He's okay now, and he hops back in. It's going to be back to the top of the lineup for the Indians. We've got Nunez on deck as Humphrey delivers a breaking ball that was low for ball one. So 1-2 here, one down. Top of the third, Humphrey working quickly, delivers, and that jammed Terrell, who hit a grounder out to Kuhn at second, who makes a throw over to first for out number two. Yeah, that was a fastball that was in on the hands of Terrell, and he just was able to fist it out to Humphrey. It was a real slow-moving ground ball. Kuhn charged, made a good throw over there to Will Height, and we are back to the top of the order with Mickey Nunez. Outfield playing him straight away, Nunez, who hit a home run on Thursday. Let's see, what did he do yesterday? You'll have to excuse me as I pull it up real quick. Nunez, he was 2-for-4 yesterday, also scored a run. He's batting .375 on the season. He had one of the two hits. The Indians only able to amass two hits in the series opener on Thursday as he took that pitch outside. It's 2-0. Humphrey working quickly. There's another fastball. That one misses high. It's quickly 3-0. Infield straight away, just against the outfield grass. The third baseman, Carlson, is in at the bag as Humphrey delivers a strike there. Nunez was taking all the way. It is now 3-1. Two down here on the top of the third. Once again, the right fielder Reeves out there. He's playing pretty deep, got the wind blowing out. That offering to Nunez, that one misses low, and that's going to be his first walk of the game. Nunez going to take a walk on down to first. And that's going to bring up the right fielder, Tyler Thornley, who he had the sacrifice bunt in the first inning that moved Nunez over. So got to imagine with two down here, it's going to be his first chance to swing away as he takes a breaking ball looking there for strike one. Will Hyatt holding Nunez on over first, who's got some good speed over there. Humphrey working out of the stretch. Wadley awaits, bat waving. And there's another breaking ball that Wadley waits on, but it pops it up. It's a lazy fly ball out to Reeves out there and Wright, who only had to take two or three steps to make that catch. So more quick work here for Humphrey for the 45s. We're going to head to the bottom of the third. You're listening to Colt 45's Baseball on KCNR 1460.
The average adult has issued 32 troopers that with proper care and just a little discipline should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com.
at ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need to get treated, not seated. Shasta Regional Medical Center is located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading. They have emergency room doctors and staff that guarantee you will be seen by a medical professional within 30 minutes of your arrival. Shasta Regional Medical Center believes in delivering patient-centered health care with compassion and respect for every patient and their family.
Colt 45's baseball comes your way exclusively on KCNR Shasta Reading.
Welcome back to Colt 45's baseball, fans. We have number 23, Lane Pritchard, the center fielder, up here to start the bottom of the third as he takes the first pitch down low. That was a breaking ball that missed. Tonight's ball game brought to you by Joe Rodola's Debt Consulting, locally owned and operated, committed to helping his customers achieve their dreams. Others might offer his services, but his comes with a personal touch. Cito delivers the second pitch there. That was a fastball that missed low and outside, 2-0 to Pritchard, who popped up to shortstop in the first inning, so he's 0-for-1 tonight. Third pitch there, that was another fastball that missed outside. Cito liking to work quick. Infield straight away. We've got 1-2-3 here. We've got Lorenzo Debrecht on deck for the 45s as Pritchard was taken all the way there, and that one misses low and outside for ball four. So a four-pitch walk right away here for Cito, who's he's thrown 46 pitches tonight, only 20 of them for strikes. So 20 strikes, 26 balls. I do believe that is his third walk. Excuse me, that's his fourth walk given up already here in three innings. So that might be a concern for the Indians moving forward, as they've had to get into the bullpen early and often in both of the first two games of this series. The starting pitcher of Thursday's ball game, Jackson, over there at first, as Cito made a pickoff play, Pritchard back in easily. Debrecht up, who walked in the first. Pritchard with a pretty good lead over at first. Cito checks him and then delivers a fastball that misses low for ball two. Ball one. Gozo on deck. Indians middle infield playing a double play depth. Cito out of the stretch delivers, and there's a ground ball to third over to Hunt. Over to Brown. He flips it over to second, and there's the throw over to first on the relay. Was not in time. Good job there by Debrecht. Racing down the line, was able to beat out that throw. Great stretch by Jackson over there. It was almost a full split that he made and a good dig, as that was a bit of a tough throw there by the second baseman, Palky. So the fielder's choice for Debrecht.
Gozo!
And that's one out, and that's going to bring up the left fielder, Jake Gozo. So Debrecht over there, he's got a small lead off of first. Cito checks him, delivers a fastball to Gozo that's in there for strike one. So you got to imagine, since Cito's had some trouble finding the strike zone early, 45's being a little bit more patient this evening, as they've taken quite a few first pitch strikes and have had to work from behind, as there's a chopper over to second. That's a slow roller, though. That was Palky who charged it and was able to throw over to first to get Gozo, who was hustling down the line, but that does move Debrecht on over to second. So once again, we're going to have the 45s with a runner in scoring position, but again with two down. And that's going to bring up the designated hitter in the cleanup spot, Kobe Zimmerman, who flied out to right in his first at bat. Palky was holding on Debrecht out there at second as Zimmerman hits a lazy pop fly that the shortstop Nunez was able to race out into short center field and make the grab. And that's another quick inning. We're moving quick here. That's going to be the end of the third. You're listening to Colt 45's baseball on KCNR 1460.
just received news that Chlorina and Sludge have been captured for impersonating spring water. Let's now go to our field reporter, Olza Wett.
Once again, Bob the Drop saves the world from fake water and... Oh, here's Bob now. Bob, do you have anything to say?
Well, Chlorina and Sludge from Tapopolis are the worst. Why would you want wannabe water when you can have the best-tasting water delivered right to your door? Anyone can get Mount Shasta spring water if they call us at 1-800-922-6227.
Pure and simple. Naturally, the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
Save the date for Friday, June 15th, as Wind River Resort and Casino and Bella Vista Farms host Redding's 6th Annual Bacon and Brew Fest. Bacon and Brew fans unite and taste an array of bacon-inspired appetizers, entrees, and desserts provided by restaurants from around the area. What would bacon be without a cold one? Sample a variety of specialty microbrews from area breweries. You are the judges at this savory event as vendors compete for $500 cash. Bring your appetite and be ready to quench your thirst at Redding's 6th Annual Bacon and Brew Fest. Plus, the Stone Hearts Band will be performing live, so you can boot, scoot, and boogie while satisfying your hunger and tossing back a cold one. Tickets $20 per person, tastings included with purchase. Save the date for Friday, June 15th, for the 6th Annual Bacon and Brew Fest from 6 to 9 p.m. 50% of the proceeds will go to Bella Vista Farms, a local nonprofit. For details, contact group sales at 530-339-7412. Download the Wind River app. Bacon and Brew is better at the river.
Colt 45's baseball comes your way exclusively on KCNR Shasta Redding.
Welcome back to Historic Tiger Field, folks. We are here in the top of the fourth as the first pitch by Humphreys popped up by the second baseman, Palky, out to center field. The wind pushed it all the way over into right center as it's Reeves that ends up running over and calling off the center fielder as it ended up drifting his way because of that breeze that's blowing out there. Reeves is able to haul it in. One pitch. One out here in the top of the fourth. Tonight's ball game brought to you by Joe Rodola's Debt Consulting, locally owned and operated, committed to helping his customers achieve their dreams. Others might offer his services, but his comes with a personal touch. That's going to bring up the catcher batting in the cleanup spot, Davey Duncan, for the Fairfield Indians. He struck out in the first, looking as he hits a bouncer up the middle there, hard hit, and that's going to get through the hole out to center. Sorry, excuse me there. Sorry about that. Richards is able to haul it in, but that's going to be a single for Duncan. That's going to bring up the first baseman, Sean Jackson. So the Indians taking a card out of the 45's playbook, being real aggressive, swinging on both of those first pitches. As Humphrey delivers a fastball there, that misses low. For ball one. Carlson, the third baseman for the 45s, is in tight, expecting potentially a bunt play there by Jackson. He's in all the way in on the grass, middle infields and double play depth, as that was a fastball that missed low for ball two. Duncan with a shallow lead over off of first, and there's a fastball that's fouled off to the third base side by Jackson. Takes the count to 2-1. Humphrey working quick. He's only got 43 pitches here through the fourth, or, well, through the third, into the fourth, as he throws a breaking ball there that catches the outside corner for strike two, 2-2. But as we said on the pregame, he likes to pepper the strike zone. He's got 31 strikes and only 13 balls thrown so far. So really able to locate in the strike zone and has let his defense work as he catches Jackson there with a fastball on the inside corner, and he's punched out by the home plate umpire for out number two, as that is Humphrey's third strikeout of the game, and two of them have been looking. That's going to bring up the third baseman, Ike Brown, who grounded out to second base in the second inning as he takes the first pitch, a breaking ball in there for strike one looking. So Humphrey, really a quick worker, something that you don't see too often anymore with pitchers. Like, he just likes to get up there and go with it. As he's working out of the stretch there, and he throws a fastball, that catches the outside part of the plate for strike two. Quickly, 0-2 on the third baseman, Ike Brown. Duncan with a short lead over on first, being held on by Will Height. Humphrey delivers, and that Brown barely able to get a piece of that one and foul it back to the screen. to stay alive in this at bat, still 0-2. So Humphrey, who only came into this start with 7 strikeouts on the season, he's got 3 as he throws a breaking ball there that gets Hunt swinging. That was down and out of the zone, and Humphrey got him to chase for his 4th strikeout of the game, 11th of the season. We have a 0-0 ball game heading to the bottom of the 4th. You're listening to Colt 45's Baseball on KCNR 1460.
Ready to make more money, break more ground, and achieve more of your life's goals? With free tuition at Shasta College, now is your chance to get more out of life. We all know that education is the key to a bigger paycheck and a brighter future, and Shasta College is committed to providing the best in affordable, accessible higher education that opens more doors. Whether you're looking to transfer to a bachelor's degree program, complete a professional degree, or secure a certification in a high-demand field, there's never been a better time to start demanding more. Shasta College grads are building more businesses, saving more lives, and attending more four-year universities. And with more programs and classes to choose from, what more could you ask for? Well, since you asked, if you're a first-time full-time student, the Shasta Promise Program will cover your entire tuition for the first year. That's right, your Shasta College tuition is free. A new semester starts soon. Enroll now before the class time you want is gone. Start getting more out of your future today. Visit shastacollege.edu/apply or call 530-242-7500 to enroll now. Shasta College, more possibilities.
Tobacco and Brew has been a sponsor here on KCNR 1460 since we started the station 8 years ago. A long-standing Reading tradition, Tobacco and Brew is locally owned, backs our veterans, and does so much more for this community. It's located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Check out their new lines, new products, new briar pipes, and of course, the famous walk-in humidor. Come in and see the newly remodeled Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week.
You're listening to Colt 45 Baseball on AM 1460 KCNR.
Welcome back, Colt 45 fans. To the bottom of the fourth inning, we're going to have the 5-6-7 hitters Will Height, Carlson, and Duarte up. Tonight's ball game brought to you by Joe Rodola's Debt Consulting, locally owned and operated, committed to helping his customers achieve their dreams. Others might offer his services, but his comes with a personal touch. Cito working out of the set, delivers a fastball low that Will Height swings on the first pitch, fouls it off down the first baseline for strike one. So Humphrey's out there dealing for the 45s tonight, working quick, low pitch count. Got to think he's going to be going pretty deep into this ball game. He's just going to need a little help, a little run support from the 45s who are looking to bring the bats back after being so hot in the first two games of this series. Will Height walked in the first on 4 pitches, had easy swings at a breaking ball there that was well outside and bounced before the plate for strike two. That one not Will Height's best swing, and one that I'm sure he would like to have back. As I praised him in his first at-bat for his plate discipline, especially with the number of walks he's had this season. But down 0-2 here. Here's Cito, who throws another breaking ball that Will Height thought about going after that one. That one bounced off the plate. But that is ball one. 1-2. As I mentioned, we've got the third baseman, Carlson, on deck. The Indians' defense playing pretty straight up. Acido out of the set delivers, and there's a foul ball. That's up into the stands over here. Oh. Crowd gave it one of the O's. Well, long O. Oh. But nobody made a play. So everybody will be hoping for another chance later in the ballgame. Good job there by Will Height to foul that one off and keep the at-bat alive. As there is a boy in a blue hooded sweatshirt who was able to get the foul ball. He's pretty pumped about it. Here's Cito out of the set, delivers to Will Height. That's a fastball that missed low and outside for ball two, 2-2. Good discipline there by Will Height. That one didn't look like it was too far off the corner, but he was able to lay off. Cito working quickly. That's a breaking ball that caught, broke right over the back of the plate, froze Will Height, who strikes out looking and is not pleased about it.
Number 9, Eric.
That was an interesting at-bat there for Will Height. I'm sure, I don't know if he just came up with a different approach, because he was real aggressive out of the gate and swung at 2 pitches that I don't think were in the zone. And then ends up taking the breaking ball for strike 3 looking. But that's going to bring up the third baseman, Carlson. He popped out to shortstop in his first at-bat back in the second as he takes the first pitch and fouls it off into the parking lot. That one caught a car. As we've got a pretty good crowd here tonight, I'd say over a couple hundred people. So the parking lot is pretty packed. Pretty good chance any foul ball in the parking lot is going to catch one. Cito's second delivery looked like an off-speed pitch. Might have been a changeup, but that one bounces in the dirt. Four ball, one, one and one here to Carlson. Carlson last night, one for four. He did score three runs, though, as he took the third offering there by Cito outside the zone for ball two. So he's ahead of the count, two and one. He's right on top of the plate. That's one thing that I've noticed with all these 45 hitters is they really crowd the plate. As he pops one up, gets jammed on the inside there, that's a pop-up over to Paulke at second, who's just a step out onto the outfield grass and is able to make the grab for out number two.
Number five.
And that's going to bring up number five, the catcher, Daniel Duarte, who singled to left in his first at-bat back in the second inning. It was a sharply hit liner that was just out of the reach of the diving Nunez there at shortstop. So Cito working quickly. Here's a delivery. That's a fastball that misses outside. Low and away for ball one. Cito, that was his 61st pitch there. And there's his 62nd, which is a breaking ball that catches the inside corner for strike one, and he's dead even on his splits, 31 strikes, 31 balls. Cito working quickly. That's a fastball. That one would look like it might have been low in the zone, but that's a called strike there by the umpire. Duarte shakes his head at that one. He didn't like that call as a catcher. As a catcher, you know, maybe you'll have a chance to talk to him in the next inning. But there's the next offering. It's a breaking ball. It's over to Nunez, who makes a running in play and throws out Duarte at first. Good play there by Nunez, who charged, made a one-handed grab, and threw it on the run. A strike over to the first baseman, Jackson, for out number three. That takes us to the end of the fourth. It's still a 0-0 ball game. You're listening to Colt 45's Baseball on KCNR 1460.
At Powerhouse Solar, we understand that each home has unique energy needs. We custom design your solar energy system to not only meet those needs, but to allow for growth, just in case you see a pool, spa, or electric car in your future. Hi, I'm Sue Blake, co-owner of Powerhouse Solar. At Powerhouse Solar, we are experts at designing and installing quality systems utilizing SunPower Solar. We install the SunPower package because it includes the panels, built-in microinverters, racking, and monitoring. One company and a bumper-to-bumper 25-year warranty. No other solar company compares to SunPower. At Powerhouse Solar, we install the perfect system for your family, and we stand behind our work. Ground rack, roof mount, or pole mount, let us design an energy-saving solar system just right for you. Talk with one of our helpful designers for your free estimate. Call 275-5600 or go to powerhousesolar.com.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name.
I'm Jeff Fink, President and CEO of Cornerstone Community Bank, and I invite you to stop by our new downtown Reading branch located at 1845 California Street, one block south of Jack's Grill, or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Our team is ready to spoil you with personalized service.
Cornerstone Community Bank, we invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
And now back to more Colt 45 Baseball on KCNR AM 1460.
Welcome back to Colt 45's Baseball, folks. We are here in the top of the fifth. We've got the DH Zion Hunt up to bat. Humphrey working quickly. That's a fastball that misses on the inside corner for ball one. Tonight's ball game brought to you by Joe Rodola's Debt Consulting, locally owned and operated. Committed to helping his customers achieve their dreams, others might offer his services, but his comes with a personal touch as Humphrey delivers a breaking ball that had Hunt out in front, swinging well ahead of that pitch for strike one, one and one. There was a rendition of YMCA that broke out in between innings there. I think everybody was excited to get up and move around and warm them up as Hunt blisters that breaking ball right up the middle out to center field. That was Pritchard out there, but that's going to be a single for Hunt, and that was the hardest hit ball of the night. And only the fifth hit of the game. It's going to be the fourth hit of the game for the Indians. The 45 so far tonight, only able to, as they've had quite a few runners on base due to the walks delivered by Cito, but only have one hit on the ball game. And that brings up the beer batter of the night. It's Wadley as he swings at the first pitch, a fastball, and fouls it back to the screen.
Left fielder, number 17, Hari Wadley.
So Hunt, who's a pretty big fellow, but he's got a pretty good size lead over there at first. Will Heights holding him on. Humphrey looks him back. Butt delivers out of the stretch, and there is a bouncing ball up the middle. That's to the shortstop, who flips it over to Kuhn at first. At second, delivers the strike to Will Hyde at first for the double play. That was a tailor-made double play there that was all started by DeBrecht at shortstop, who charged. It was a big hop. He was able to field it. Underhand toss to Kuhn at second, who made a quick turn and to throw out Wadley at first. So quickly, two down here in the top of the fifth. Defensively, this game has been really solid. We're just looking for the bats to come alive as Humphrey there delivers a strike to the number nine hitter. That's Jordan Terrell, the center fielder. And there's a fastball by Humphrey that over the plate that caught Terrell off guard, and that one was over the plate for a strike, 0-2. Humphrey delivers that fastball that bounced outside. Good location there, trying to get Terrell to chase out of the zone. But that one missed. Terrell able to lay off. Now 1-2. Humphrey working quickly out of the set. That's a good foot and a half in front of the plate on that one. So that's a miss. 2-2. 45's defense straight away. Humphrey out of the set delivers. High fastball. Terrell took it over to DeBrecht at shortstop, though, who's able to take it. Moving to his left. Takes one crawl hop, a strike over to Will Hyde at first, and that's going to end the top of the fifth, folks. We're moving along quickly here, lightning speed. It's a 0-0 ball game. We're going to head to the bottom of the fifth. You're listening to Colt 45's Baseball on KCNR 1460.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Holiday Harbor on Shasta Lake has it all for your summer fun. Great deals on the best boats, from full-size houseboats to patio boats, fishing boats, wakeboards, paddleboards, jet skis, and pool toys. Shasta Lake has been named as one of the top 10 houseboat lakes in the nation. And Holiday Harbor has the best service, according to customers who come back year after year. They feature a great restaurant for breakfast and lunch. Holiday Harbor, exit 695, or go to lakeshasta.com.
Joe's Web Geeks are the geeks your business has been looking for. Now businesses in Shasta County have a resource to make online advertising easy. With our Jumpstart service, you can get a website with pages built to be found in search, a Facebook page, listings in over 25 directories, and a lot more for $8.99. Let Joe's Web Geeks help you so that you can get back to doing what you do best. Visit joeswebgeeks.com or call 515-9851.
You're listening to Colt 45's Baseball on KCNR AM 1460.
Welcome back to Historic Tiger Field here. We are in the bottom of the fifth in a 0-0 ball game between the Fairfield Indians and your Colt 45s. We just had the canine unit take down a guy wearing a padded suit. It was an officer who was not in uniform, but he was wearing the padded suit. He was trying to steal second, and the dog, the good boy that he is, took him out. Tonight's ball game brought to you by Joe Rodola's Debt Consulting, locally owned and operated, committed to helping his customers achieve their dreams. Others might offer his services, but his comes with a personal touch. Also, a message from Danny Day Allstate Insurance. Danny Day Allstate Agency is in the Third Base Club VIP Pavilion tonight. They want to thank you all for joining them for the ball game, whether you're at the ballpark or listening to us here at KCNR as we cheer on the Colt 45s. We are proud to support the Colt 45s, and we back the blue as we raise money for our local canine program. Don't forget to call Danny Day at Allstate, your home insurance expert, for a discount review. Go Colt 45s. Cito there delivers the first pitch of the inning to the right fielder, J.J. Reeves, and it was a ball. So Reeves, who grounded out to the pitcher in the first inning, hits a soft, slow grounder to Jackson over at first. It just stayed on the line. Jackson basically caught it right over first base and didn't even have to step to tag Reeves out. So quickly, we have one down here in the fifth. The 45's bats really need to come alive. They're getting a quality, and I mean a quality outing from James Humphrey, and they need to provide some run support here. So they need to start hitting Cito a bit more than they are, as we've got Derek Kuhn, the second baseman, who check-swinged on a fastball that was outside for strike one on the outside corner, excuse me. So Kuhn, who flew out to Thornley out in right field in his first at-bat back in the second inning, as he takes the second offering there by Cito out low and outside for ball one. Cito working quickly, bounces that breaking ball outside the plate for ball two. It remains chilly out here, but we've got quite a crowd, and the crowd is sticking it out. They came prepared, a lot of long sleeves. I think there's a lot more coffee being bought tonight than the ballpark probably expected. Folks trying to stay warm as Cito misses with that fastball low. So Kuhn ahead in the count, 3-1 with nobody on here. And the top of the order with Lane Pritchard on deck as Cito paints the outside corner with that fastball there. Kuhn thought he might have drawn ball four, but instead the count runs full. Cito delivers here. That's a fastball, though. That's going to miss low, bounced into the catcher's glove, Duncan, and Coots is going to take a walk down to first base, as that is the fifth walk of the night surrendered by Cito. And that's going to bring us to the top of the order, and it's going to be the center fielder, Pritchard, who has he popped out to shortstop and has also walked so far tonight, so 0 for 1. Kuhn with a very, very short lead off of first, as Pritchard, looking to jump on one early, swung through that off-speed pitch that was well outside. He's shaking his head, disgusted with himself. He must have had his mindset that he was swinging at that first pitch no matter what, but he missed it wildly and is down now 0-1. Ike Brown, the third baseman, is even with the bag. Infield at double play depth. There's another fastball that's well outside for ball one. Kuhn had a pretty good secondary lead off that one. I'm almost surprised, and Duncan's shaking his head down at the first baseman, Jackson. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a snap throw here. Cito looks in, throws well outside, and there it is. There's a snap throw down to first. Good stop by Jackson to stay in. Kuhn had to dive back in under the tag as Duncan bounced it. Good stop by Jackson that it didn't get by him into right field. And Kuhn got back in with a head-first slide. So we saw that one coming. Kuhn, that previous pitch, it was a big secondary lead out there, as Cito hasn't done the best job of holding runners on, but the only one that's tried to steal was thrown out at second. As there goes Kuhn right now. It was a hit and run that was set, and that's a grounder over to first. Jackson to his right, able to make the play, beats Pritchard over to first base, but that is going to move Kuhn down, who, with the hit and run on, had a huge dump. There was no chance to get him over at second. So a bit of action, a good aggressive play there by the 45s. Unfortunately, it didn't work out, as Pritchard ends up grounding out to the first baseman for out number two here in the bottom of the fifth. And that's going to bring up Lorenzo Dobrecht, the home run leader and the RBI leader. There's a fastball that got underneath Duncan, and there goes Kuhn down to third. Oh, and there was that was almost a no-look tag by Ike Brown there at third baseman. He caught the ball and reached behind him. And if the ball ended up squirting out of his glove. If he had held on to it, he might have had Kuhn there. That was a nifty play by Ike Brown and a good throw by Davey Duncan. But nonetheless, as the ball had bounced, it didn't bounce like Duncan was expecting to behind the plate and ended up right underneath him. And Kuhn's now at third, now with two down. So a big chance here for Lorenzo Dobrecht to give the 45s the lead. As he swings through that one, fouls it off back behind the plate. He had his head on there. Looked like he was trying to make a good compact swing and just put the ball in play. But fouls it back to the screen. And it's now 1-1. Jake Gozo, the left fielder, on deck. A 0-0 ball game here. And you got to imagine now, with a runner only 90 feet away, this is a big opportunity for the 45s, as that's a breaking ball that catches the top of the strike zone for strike two. So Cito's really settled in here, despite the strike ball comparison. Now there's a ripped line drive up the middle out to Terrell in center field. A good piece of hitting there by Dobrecht, and he pumps. He gives a fist pump after rounding first. High fives the first base coach, and that brings in Kuhn for the first run of the ball game as your Colt 45s take a 1-0 lead here in the bottom of the fifth. A great piece of hitting there with two strikes by Dobrecht, and he ripped that offering there by Cito back up the middle and into center. That was probably now the hardest hit ball of the ball game. Great piece of hitting, and that brings up Jake Gozo, who has walked, and he got out in a fielder's choice to the second baseman back in the third. So here, two down. Dobrecht with a short lead as Gozo takes the first pitch. And a grounder over to, the second baseman, who flips it over to Nunez at shortstop to get the force on Dobrecht. That ends the inning. But the Colt 45 strike now up 1-0 here at the end of the fifth. You're listening to Colt 45's Baseball, KCNR 1460.
Morgan Stanley values long-term relationships with its clients.
Rick Hill and Rory Greek, financial advisors of Morgan Stanley's Reading office, know that building relationships begins with getting to know each client. Everyone has different goals, from planning for retirement to saving for a child's education.
Rick and Rory with the Pathfinder Group at Morgan Stanley can create personal investment strategies to help you meet your retirement, education, wealth transfer, and other financial needs. So call Rick or Rory at 223-4200. That's 223-4200.
Investments and services are offered through Morgan Stanley Smith Barney, LLC, member SIPC.
Hi, we're Billy and Patrick for Reading Kia and America's Best Value Summer Event. Now extended through June with some of the best deals on wheels.
Like the 50-mile-per-gallon 2018 Kia Niro Hybrid. The Niro has set a new standard in hybrid technology, and it is beyond comfortable.
Reading Kia has a great selection this month, and you're invited to take a test drive, make a great deal, and start saving money right now.
The 2018 Kia Soul remains one of the North State's favorite crossovers, and over 1 million have hit the road in the USA since being introduced in 2010. Get yours today in your favorite designer color, including the new Caribbean Blue.
And don't miss your chance to save on the new 2019 all-wheel drive Kia Sorento and the completely redesigned 2019 Kia Rio.
Every new Kia from Reading Kia comes with complimentary no-cost oil changes and tire rotations.
The best deals this month are at America's Best Value Summer Event at Reading Kia. Reading Kia Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, ReadingKia.com.
Ends June 30th, 2018.
You're listening to Colt 45 Baseball on AM 1460 KCNR.
Welcome back to Historic Tiger Field, folks. We are here in a 1-0 ball game in favor of the Colt 45s, heading into the sixth inning against the Fairfield Indians. Tonight's ball game is brought to you by Joe Rodola's Debt Consulting, locally owned and operated, committed to helping his customers achieve their dreams. Others might offer his services, but his comes with a personal touch.
Hey, thank you, Brian. Thanks for being
So the 45s took the lead in that last inning off of a short line drive base hit by by Lorenzo Dobrecht. And Humphrey here, who's throwing a real gem for the 45s. He's only given up one walk so far tonight, and he's also struck out four. Has given up four hits on the evening. But a really good defensive effort by both teams tonight. No errors so far in the ball game. And we're at the top of the lineup here for the Fairfield Indians with Mickey Nunez, who singled to right in his first at bat leading off the game, and has also walked back in the third. Humphrey out of the set. He delivers. That's a fastball that catches the outside corner for strike one. So with both starting pitchers giving good quality starts here, as Humphrey misses outside with that offering, 1-1. We've got no action in either bullpen. I haven't seen any so far tonight, which doesn't surprise us with the low pitch counts and with each one dealing. As there's a line drive just over the head of DeBrecht at shortstop off the bat of Nunez, who's going to stretch out. There was a misplay out there by Pritchard in center, but he throws in, and they get Nunez in second, who is trying to take an extra bag. Pritchard bobbled it out there in center, so Nunez decided he was going to try to go down to second, but Pritchard made a great throw to Kuhn, who was covering second, and they nailed Nunez at second for the out. So what a great piece of defensive work back there by the 45s. It was a great hit by Nunez. DeBrecht jumped and left for it. It was just over the top of his glove, but then a great throw by Pritchard is... Humphrey just threw a breaking ball to the number two hitter, Tyler Thornley, the right fielder, who was out ahead of that and hit a line drive foul down the third base line for an 0-1 count. Second pitch there was a breaking ball that missed low and outside by Humphrey, now 1-1. Thornley turns the bunt and hits a beautiful bunt down the third base line. Carlson had no chance. He was playing well back. That was a beautiful, beautiful bunt there by Thornley down the third base line. It killed it right in the grass. Carlson came charging in, but with the speed of Thornley, there was no way. He didn't even throw it down to first. And that's going to be an infield single, a bunt single there by Tyler Thornley, and that's going to bring up the second baseman, Jason Palke. And there's Humphrey there. He threw over to first, trying to keep Thornley honest over there, who does have a sizable lead. And with that kind of speed, got to imagine he might be looking to go. And there's a fastball that catches the inside corner for strike one against Palke. So in a 1-0 game, got to imagine the Indians are probably going to be pretty aggressive here. Thornley has his lead. He fakes to go. Palke swings through a fastball for strike two. So Humphrey, who's just been ahead of the hitters all night long, that trend continues being up 0-2 here. 66 pitches so far for Humphrey as he throws a fastball. That one misses low and outside for ball two. The middle infield for the 45s playing at double play depth. Outfield is straight away. Carlson, a couple steps behind the bag over at third. Wilhite holding Thornley on at first, as that was a breaking ball that bounced in. Good stop by Duarte that held Thornley at first, who took a look. He thought about going, but decided otherwise. Duarte with a strong arm there back behind the plate and a good block. So now we've got a 2-2 count. Humphrey working quickly out of the stretch. Looks Thornley back, because there goes Thornley. And there's a ball three outside, throw down by Duarte, but Thornley's in easily. That Duarte's throw down to second missed on the shortstop side, which gave Thornley even more time to get in there, but I think he would have been in there either way. It was an off-speed pitch that missed low and outside, so it was a bit slower, and Thornley's speed, he was just able to beat that out. So now the Indians with a runner in scoring position with one out here in the top of the sixth. Palke dealing with a full count, and there's Humphrey. He delivers a ball that's fouled off back behind the screen to stay alive in the at-bat. Palke so far, he grounded out to shortstop and also flied out to the right fielder Reeves out there. So far tonight, 0-2. There's a breaking ball that Paulke pokes down the right field line. That one's going to be well out of play. Reeves would have had to cover a lot of ground to get to that one. He did run all the way over there, but was nowhere near making the play. But Paulke once again stays alive. Will Height playing pretty close to the line over there at first. Wanted to make sure nothing gets down the line for a double. So there's a pretty sizable hole between the first baseman and the second baseman, Kuhn. If Paulke were to just poke one through there, because Kuhn's trying to hold Thornley on at second. There's a fastball that one's also fouled down the right field line. Not far enough to get in the cars. Would have got close to the bullpen down there of the Fairfield Indians. Thornley and DeBrecht out there having a conversation. Just chit-chatting. Humphrey looks back, just to keep him honest, and throws a wild breaking ball. That one slipped out of his hands all the way to the backstop. Thornley's able to walk into third base, standing up, and that's going to be ball four for Paulke. So now the Indians threatening with runners at the corner with only one down here in the sixth. That's going to bring up the catcher, Davey Duncan. He struck out looking in the first, but singled out to center back in the fourth. One of the six hits that the Indians have on the evening. Only the second walk given up by Humphrey tonight. As we mentioned, he's been peppering the strike zone. He now has 73 pitches. 52 of them have been strikes, however. In a bit of a jam here, though. Like I said, with runners on the corners. Duncan steps in, the right-hander, and there goes Paulke. He just took second base. There was a haphazard throw down to second. I think the 45s were far more concerned about Thornley scoring from third as Kuhn charged in and caught the throw down pretty close to the infield grass. Didn't even attempt to apply a tag. I think they could have had Paulke, but they were worried about Thornley scoring from third. So the threat goes to another level now with runners at second and third with only one out. And there's a breaking ball there by Humphrey that catches the outside corner for strike two. So Duncan quickly down 0-2 here. This would be a big strikeout for Humphrey to get the two outs without giving the Indians a chance to either put one in play, you know, for a hit or a sacrifice fly perhaps. Humphrey now out of the stretch delivers. That's a breaking ball and a big bouncer to third base. Carlson charges. Thought about throwing home, instead throws the first. They would have had, Duarte was ready. I'm not quite sure why Carlson didn't pull the trigger on the throw home. They would have had a pretty good chance to get Thornley. I'm not sure if Carlson might have bobbled it in his glove or what, but he ended up throwing over to first, over to Will Height. They were able to get the runner over at first. That would have been Duncan. But that's going to be an RBI for Duncan. And we are now tied at one. Also on that play. Paulke scampered on over to the third. So we've got a runner at third, two down, in a 1-1 tie. Humphrey now working out of the stands. There's a foul ball off the third base side for strike one. Humphrey now looking to deliver. Throws a breaking ball that's outside. Carlson, who was playing in, not able to make a diving attempt at it, but he was playing in. And it got by him. DeBrecht showed a lot of range to get over and keep it from going into the outfield, but he just threw a wild throw over to first that had no chance of getting him. It would have been a really tough play. That's going to be ruled an infield single. But now we've got Paulke, who scored on that play from third. And quickly, the Indians have taken a 2-1 lead here. And we've got the third baseman, Ike Brown, at the plate. So good piece of hitting there by Jackson, the first baseman, to put that in play. And he's going to get the RBI single there. As Brown takes a swing and a high one, it's a slow roller over to Carlson, who charges, throws over to Will Height at first, and just beats Brown, who was hustling down the line. That's going to be out number three, but the Indians strike with two runs there on the top of the sixth. They take a 2-1 lead. You're listening to Colt 45's Baseball on KCNR 1460.
Hi, I'm Jim from Design Time. Are you looking for a new kitchen? We have it all. Custom cabinets, ceramic tile, granite, and quartz slabs for countertops. Need a new bathroom? We can do that too. Our staff at Design Time and Tile can help you design the kitchen and bath of your dreams. Stop by our showrooms located on Highway 273 just north of Wind River Casino. Don't forget, Design Time for all your flooring needs.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. I thought it would be fun to have you hear from some of our residents what life is like here at River Commons. I asked Jean, Rosalie, Gordon, and Sherry to share their thoughts.
Living here at River Commons is something I never even imagined or dreamed of. It's sort of like being on a vacation where you don't have to worry about doing anything and you have people taking care of you, looking out for you. The food is like being on a cruise ship, as my daughter puts it.
Home. It feels homey to me. Only better. I don't have to cook. I don't have to clean.
Been here 8 years. It's been fantastic. I've enjoyed every minute of it.
This is my home. The parties and the activities are great. I love living here. I wouldn't live anyplace else.
Call today and schedule a tour or luncheon a tour and see for yourself why our residents love living here at River Commons. Call 221-2121 or on the web at river-commons.com.
And now back to more Colt 45's baseball action on KCNR AM 1460.
Welcome back to Colt 45's baseball, folks. Tonight's ball game brought to you by Joe Rodola's Debt Consulting, locally owned and operated, committed to helping his customers achieve their dreams. Others might offer his services, but his comes with a personal touch. So we are here at Historic Tiger Field, bottom of the sixth inning. The 45s now find themselves quickly down 2-1 as the Indians were able to put up two runs in that top half of the sixth inning on some good hitting. Coming up for the 45s, we're going to have the 4, 5, and 6 hitters. It's going to be the designated hitter, Colby Zimmerman. Zimmerman so far flied out to right, also popped up to the shortstop, Nunez. You'll have to excuse me, I misplaced my pen up here somewhere. So I'll have to get that figured out. Home plate umpire calls timeout as Carlson, who was in the hole, was also out near the on-deck circle there with Will Height. He got sent back to the dugout. As Zimmerman takes the first offering there by Cito Lowe for ball one. So the 45's bats are going to have to come alive here as Zimmerman takes that second fastball down low. Now ahead of the count, 2-0. That's been a familiar spot so far tonight for the 45's, but they just haven't been able to do much with it. As there's a fly ball deep out to right that Thornley was able to make a nice turnaround catch near the warning track. That one carried thanks to the breeze out there. Zimmerman did a good job, put a good move on that ball that was deep out to the right center near the 370 light pole out there. But Thornley able to haul it in for out number one, and that's going to bring up the first baseman, Marcus Wilhite. Wilhite so far tonight, he's walked. And he struck out looking. Cito working quickly. There's a hard hit ball right down the line for Wilhite. That's a fair ball. Wilhite on his horse. He's moving to second. Thornley gets it in, but that's going to be a stand-up double for Wilhite and might be the spark that the 45s needed here in the sixth. A good, sharply hit ball off the bat of Wilhite there. Took that first pitch offering right down the line. So Humphrey, the starting pitcher for the 45s, has to be excited about that. And hopefully the 45s can do some more with it to try to get him some more run support and try to tie this ball game up at two. So that's going to bring up the third baseman, Eric Carlson. Hopefully he's forgot about the missed opportunity to throw out one of the Indians runners at home in the last inning. He's popped up twice tonight to the second baseman and also to the shortstop as he takes the first pitch that bounced in. Good stop by Duncan behind the plate for ball one, 1-0. the catcher Daniel Duarte on deck for the 45s. Will Height with good speed out there at second, being held on by the second baseman, Palky, as Carlson swings through that one. Will Height's got a pretty good lead out there at second base, a good secondary lead, so we'll see if the 45s want to be aggressive and challenge the arm of Duncan, who's already thrown out one runner trying to steal. I believe that was back in the second inning. Carlson waits. Cito working out of the stretch. Takes a long time this time. And we've got a timeout called there by Carlson. Cito was staring down Will Height for a long time there at second base. And didn't make a move. So Carlson decided to call time. He'd been standing there for too long. But back in. Here we go. Here's Cito. He delivers. As Carlson rips a line drive right over third base. And here comes Will Height. That's down the line. Will Height's going to score. And that's back-to-back stand-up doubles here for the 45s and the 6, and they've tied the ball game at 2.
An RBI, Eric Carlson!
Great piece of hitting there by Carlson. That ball, the home plate umpire immediately called that it was fair. It had to bounce right over the bag at third base. So a great piece of hitting. Brown down there at third, that ball was so sharply hit, did not have a chance at all to make a play on it. So the 45s... putting some life into their bats. Now have four hits on the game, back-to-back doubles, as I said. A tie ball game, 2-2, and that's going to bring up Daniel Duarte, number 5. Duarte so far tonight, he singled the left and grounded out to the shortstop. Nunez, Cito working out the stretch, delivers. Duarte swinging first pitch. Fouls one back to the screen. Cito up to 88 pitches, but still no action down in the Indians' bullpen whatsoever. Cito's really settled in here in the late innings, and they finally got some support there. However, has given up 2 sharply hit balls here in this inning. Working out of the stretch now, Carlson away from the bag at second, not a very big lead. Palky trying to hold him on. As Duarte swings at that breaking ball, got way out ahead of that one. Duarte was trying to put that one in the net over the fence and left. Had grand aspirations that evaporated like a mirage in the desert. Shout out to Simpson University women's head basketball coach Derek Pringle Jr., who's in the stands tonight. Cito delivers there. That's a fastball that misses low and outside for ball one. Once again, a good spot. Cito's done a good job. When he's gotten ahead in the count, he's done a good job of locating pitches to try to get the 45 hitters to chase. They did have a bit on it, but that was a good spot on that ball. As he bounces another fastball in there, low for ball 2, now 2-2. Carlson modestly away. Indians defense is pretty straight up, except for Palky, who's trying to hold Carlson on. They're at second. Cito checks him back and then delivers the play. Duarte hits a... That looks like a Texas leaguer down the right field line. Oh, just foul. That one would have definitely brought Carlson in, given the 45s the lead, but was fouled by about 2 feet down the right field line. Right fielder Thornley, who's playing pretty far away from the line there, would have had no chance. Was kind of out there in no man's land. Almost like it caught it like a corkscrew off the end of the bat there, as Duarte is actually checking it to make sure nothing's broken on his bat. 2-2 nonetheless. Here we go. Cito working out of the stretch now. We've got Reeves, the right fielder, on deck. As Duarte fouls another one off. That one's going to be in the parking lot. Let's see if this one catches a car. Nope. Found one of the... That's like one of those things, like trees are 90% air, right? Go ask a golfer. That parking lot's about 90% full tonight and was able to dodge everything there. Cito working quickly here. Duarte up. He delivers. That was a breaking ball that had Duarte out in front. Who fouled it? Near the 45's dugout down the third base side to stay alive in this at-bat. Good at-bat here by Duarte. Still just one down here. Bottom of the sixth in a 2-2 tie. It's been a great ball game tonight. Very well played. 7 hits for the Indians, 4 for the...
Hand up double, an RBI, Daniel Duarte.
Okay. Sorry about that, folks. We had some technical difficulties over at the snack bar where our power's plugged into. Somebody decided to throw a cardboard box over there. And they went ahead and unplugged the cord, so I lost all power. While that happened, Daniel Duarte hit a towering double off the wall out in left field that scored Carlson from second. And the 45s now have a 3-2 lead. And we've got time here by Duncan, who's going to go talk it over quickly with Stito as they were having a miscommunication on what pitch to throw. Let me reset here. It's 3-2. Bottom of the sixth. 45s are up. They've scored two runs here on back-to-back-to-back doubles by Will Height, Carlson, and Duarte. J.J. Reeves, your right fielder, is up. He's grounded out to first, or to the pitcher, and grounded out to first in his first two at-bats tonight. Cito delivers. That one bounces in for ball two. It's 2-1 with one down here. In the sixth, we've got Derek Kuhn, the number 9 hitter, on deck for the 45s. Tito working out the stretch. There's Reeves. He catches one off the end of the bat. That's going to be Polky to his left. Makes a wild throw over to Jackson at first, and that gets almost into the Indians' dugout. That allows Duarte to score from second. Reeves over down to second. And that's a 4-2 lead here for the 45s. That's going to be E5 there on Polky. That throw was not even close to Jackson. He had all the time in the world to get him. To get Reeves down there at first and just missed it badly. Almost threw it into the dugout. So that's going to be the first error of the ball game. It's going to bring up Derek Kuhn. And the 45s really have it going here now with some momentum, scoring 3 in the bottom of the sixth. Kuhn has flied out to right, has also walked, takes that first pitch low for ball 1. Still no action. Oh, nope. No action in the bullpen for the Indians. I thought I saw somebody else walking down there. Cito working out of the stretch now, 1-0 here to Derek Kuhn. Cito looking back, Reeves at second, delivers. That bounces another fastball into Duncan for ball 2. And Duncan seems to not be, Duncan's trying to let his dugout know that they need to get somebody working in the bullpen. as Cito is now up to 87 pitches. Cito misses with another pitch there, and it's quickly 3-0 on Kuhn. As we've got some folks headed down to the bullpen now. That's number 27 and number 23 for the Indians. Let me double check here real quick. Number 23 is Jorge Ortega, and number 27, that's Hayden Klemenak, that are headed down to the bullpen. Looks like it's going to be the lefty Ortega that's warming up. Acedo delivered a strike there to Kuhn, who was taken all the way, and it's now 3-1. Reese off a second. Kuhn slices the ball out to right field, but it's right at the right fielder, Thornley. Reeves tagging up from second is in easily as he stands up, and he's now at third base. So pretty good piece of hitting there by Kuhn, moving the runner over. And that's going to get us back to the top of lineup with Lane Pritchard, the center.
Number 23, Lane Pritchard,
who is 0-1 tonight. He's also walked and grounded out, or 0-2, excuse me. He grounded out in a fielder's choice back in the fifth. As he swings on the first pitch, that's to Paulke, who moves to his left. Much better throw this time to Jackson at first for the out, and that is going to end the sixth inning. Your Colt 45s have taken a 4-2 lead. You're listening to 45s Baseball on KCNR 1460.
I'm here with Mike of Estate Grant and Things. Hey, Mike, so I got to ask, what's with the and things?
And things is anything that we can make with granite and metal.
So you're saying it's going to last?
It's forever furniture.
Wow, did you come up with that one?
Absolutely. The and things are dining room tables, wine bistros, fire pit patio tables, and our ever-popular granite line roasters. Really, anything you can imagine inside or out.
You know, that store-bought stuff has to be replaced every few years. You know, it gets hot up here.
That's why we call it forever furniture. You can will it to your children.
Mike, with Estate Granite and Things, our builder of choice, thinking completely out of the box.
The first time I walked into my new kitchen, I was amazed. But after, I started to notice all the little things that make my kitchen unique. From the tile backsplash to the seams in the granite, everything was truly a work of art.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard. Estate Granite and Things, completely out of the box. Or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Hi, this is Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. Join me at 9 a.m. every Wednesday for Generations Talk Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. Topics will include resources and businesses that you need to know about. We will talk money, travel, healthcare, and more. Embrace aging. Listen to Generations Talk Radio, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. here on KCNR 1460. Archive shows at generationstalkradio.com.
Colt 45's baseball comes your way exclusively on KCNR Shasta Redding.
Welcome to the top of the seventh here at Historic Tiger Field. Your 45s with a 4-2 lead. We've got the 7, 8, 9 hitters up for the Fairfield Indians, but we do have a pinch hitter so far. Tonight's ballgame brought to you by Joe Verdola's Debt Consulting, locally owned and operated, committed to helping his customers achieve their dreams. Others might offer his services, but his comes with a personal touch. As I mentioned, we've got a pinch hitter here in the 7 spot. This is going to be, he's wearing number 43, which is unfortunately not on the roster that I am seeing. So as soon as I have that, I will let you know. But as of right, the lefty, so he's up to hit. And Humphrey is behind in the count, 2-1 to him. And there's a foul ball there off the third base side, which evens the count, 2-2. .45's defense straight away here. Humphrey working out the stretch. And he rings up number 43 there. Got him looking on an inside fastball for strike three. Humphrey's fifth strike out of the game. And that takes us, and that gives us one out here. And also brings up the beer batter, Hadhari Wadley. So Wadley, he singled on an infield single back in the first, and he takes the first pitch here and hits a grounder over to Kuhn, who moves to his right, tosses to Wilhite for the second out of the inning. So once again, Humphrey just making quick work of the Indians' batters here, and now in a pretty good spot with a 4-2 lead. And that's going to bring up the number 9 hitter, Jordan Terrell. And that first offering there is a fastball that misses low and outside for ball one. Terrell 0 for 2 tonight. He's grounded out to second and also grounded out to short. Swings through that off-speed pitch there. Had him out in front. 1-1. Outfield playing straight away. Still a pretty good crowd here tonight. Nobody's left as of yet, despite it being chilly. Humphrey now delivers. That was a slow breaking ball that broke right back over the inside corner for strike two. A good piece of hitting had Terrell completely guessing on that one and buckled him. And Humphrey, like he has most of the night, working ahead of the count 1-2. Two down here in the seventh. Now working quickly here, Ewings. That was a fastball over the outside corner. Ring him up. Back-to-back strikeouts there for Humphrey, who is just dealing. We're going to stretch it out here in the seventh. Your 45's up 4-2. You're listening to Colt 45's Baseball on KCNR 1460.
KCNR Free Fire Radio, your town hall of the airwaves, is ground zero for the renaissance of downtown Reading. Our state-of-the-art on-air studio is under construction right now, so you might hear a bit of hammering in the background. We're upgrading our sound and control systems, so you may occasionally hear a little glitch, but bear with us, we will keep it to a minimum. And we will be expanding our presence with an FM channel and an exciting launch into video on YouTube Live. KCNR, Free Fire Radio. Join in the conversation.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Hello, at Hilltop Medical Clinic, we're here when you need us. No appointments are necessary. This gives us a unique picture of the health and the infections that are circulating in our community. Want to know if influenza has arrived in Reading? Then like our Hilltop Medical Clinic Facebook page or go to our website at hilltopmedicalclinic.com. Awareness is one of the best ways to protect the health of your family and children. Hilltop Medical Clinics, 221-1565 or 246-4629.
Hi, I'm Brittany.
And I'm Julie, and we own Guild Beauty Bar, located in Reading on Hilltop Drive.
We specialize in creatively shaping eyebrows that uniquely fit every one of our clients.
and we also offer all facial and body waxing services, makeup by my partner, Brittany Bear,
extreme eyelash extensions by my partner, Julie, PCA peels, and our newest addition, microblading.
We welcome all men, women, and teenagers to come in and enjoy a personalized service.
We will always accommodate you accordingly, and our biggest attribution to our small business is to make sure every client walks out feeling loved.
So please, book now at guildbeautybar.com.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. With all the talk about gun control and stripping firearms rights from law-abiding citizens, I just want you to remember that our country was founded on the idea that we would each be accountable to ourselves and each other for the safety of our society. Another important responsibility we have is a safe and effective use of a firearm. If that is your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find and register for one of our popular CCW courses at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Colt 45's baseball comes your way exclusively on KCNR Shasta Redding.
Welcome back to Colt 45's baseball, fans. Your 45's with a 4-2 lead here heading into the bottom half of the seventh inning. We just had one of the K-9 unit dogs race center fielder, Pritchard, and in a major upset, probably one of the most major upsets of the year, Pritchard beat out the K-9 dog. Very impressive stuff by Pritchard. We've got a pitching change here for the Fairfield Indians on the bump now.
Hey, ma'am. Ma'am, will you plug that back in? I just lost that orange cord in the wall to keep it unplugging. Thank you. Here we go. Thank you. Sorry. Once again, my cord keeps getting unplugged. I had to let somebody know to plug it back in. Hopefully we don't have that. Back to what I was saying, we have a pitching change for the Fairfield Indians. It's number 9, David Gustafson. The right-hander going to be working out of the pen in relief, coming in down 4-2. As the 45s are going to have the 2, 3, and 4 hitters up in this inning, starting with your shortstop, Lorenzo DeBrecht. DeBrecht so far tonight, he walked in the first. He reached on a fielder's choice in the third and had an RBI single back in the fifth as he takes a check swing on a fastball for a strike one, 0-1. So the 45 is going to look to continue to add on to their lead here. As Gustafson works quickly, that's a fastball that bounces in low for a ball, 1-1. Gozo, who's on deck, he's 0-2 so far tonight, also with a walk. DeBrecht takes that pitch there, but it was a fastball by Gustafson. DeBrecht took it right back up the middle, bounces right over second base into center field for a single. Good piece of hitting there by DeBrecht, shortened up his swing, made good contact on that one. And the 45s have the leadoff man on, and that's going to bring up the left fielder, Jake Gozo. Gozo's grounded out on two different fielder's choices and walked back in the first. We'll see. DeBrecht obviously showed some good speed. We'll see if he gets some action going as Gozo takes that fastball about belt high on the inside corner for strike one. Indians middle in double play depth. Brown at third, couple steps back behind the bag. Outfield playing Gozo deep as he went down low for that fastball that swung over the top of it for strike two, quickly behind 0-2. Tonight's ball game brought to you by Joe Rodola's Debt Consulting, locally owned and operated, committed to helping his customers achieve their dreams. Others might offer his services, but his come with a personal touch. Gozo looking to keep this at bat going here. As Gustafson was having trouble seeing the signs from Duncan, who calls him out so they can discuss what's going on. Cito might have been having some trouble seeing Duncan's signs earlier, too. There seemed to be some miscommunication, but this quick chat now over. Duncan headed back to his home, back behind the plate. DeBrecht with a short lead off of first. Jackson holding him on over there. Gustafson doesn't check him, but delivers home. Gozo
rung up on a off-speed pitch that caught the outside corner of the plate for strike three. So Gozo down on three straight pitches for the first out here in the seventh. That's going to bring up the designated hitter, number 22, Kobe Zimmerman. Zimmerman so far tonight, I believe he's 0-3. He's flied out to right, also popped out to the shortstop. Takes the first pitch here. That's a fastball that misses low for ball one. So Zimmerman looking to get off the schneid and get one in the hit column. Outfielder still playing a little bit deep. That was a hit and run that was on, but it's popped up over to Jackson in foul territory. He's able to catch it near the Indians' dugout over there. That one off the hands of Zimmerman. Luckily, DeBrecht, who, as I said, got a running start on a hit and run, was able to get back to first without getting doubled up. That's going to bring up Marcus Wilhite, who hit the double that got the double streak going back in the sixth. In his last at bat, he's also struck out looking and walked. Takes the first pitch there in the dirt for ball one. Wilhite, the left-hander, looking out to Gustafson, who checks DeBrecht at first. DeBrecht out of the stretch, and there's a deep fly ball hit by Wilhite. That one, Terrell's on his horse out there in center, but he makes the catch for out number three. So quick work there by Gustafson out of the pen. We're going to go to the eighth inning, 4-2 for the Colts. You're listening to Colt 45's Baseball on KCNR 1460.
Enjoy a vacation unlike any other with Holiday Harbor Resort and Marina on Shasta Lake. Not only do we have houseboat and toy rentals, but we also offer a number of convenient resort services. How about a big country breakfast or an all-you-can-eat salad bar overlooking the harbor at the Harbor Cafe? Moor your boat at the Boating Marina, where we have over 400 boat slips in all sizes. Call 238-2383 to reserve your Holiday Harbor vacation today.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant on Friday morning, June the 15th from 8 to 9 on Free Fire Radio on AM 1460 KCNR.
Are you entertainment-minded? Do you like to hear people discuss fun topics?
Well, we talk about all things pop culture.
From movies and TV to books, music, games, and everything in between. But with a twist, everything is not very current.
We'll talk about things we recently discovered and have decided we just have to share our thoughts on.
Which gives us the title of our show.
We're a little behind.
Hosted by us, Chris and Jen Gomez.
Join us every Tuesday night from 6 to 7 p.m. for We're a Little Behind. Right here on Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460 AM.
You're listening to Colt 45 Baseball on AM 1460 KCNR.
Here for the Colt 45's Baseball, we are in the bottom of the seventh. Tonight's ballgame brought to you by Joe Rodola's Debt Consulting, locally owned and operated, committed to helping his customers achieve their dreams. Others might offer his services, but his comes with a personal touch. There's a new pitcher on the mound for the 45s. It's number 10, Noah Dobbin. That ends a really quality start by James Humphrey tonight, whose final line ends up looking. He pitched six solid innings, gave up seven hits, two runs, and had six strikeouts. So we're at the top of the lineup here for the Indians to start off, seven innings pitched for Humphrey. Excuse me, we are in the top of the eighth. And it starts with the shortstop, Mickey Nunez, who takes the first two pitches, both outside the zone, both fastballs. So he's quickly ahead of the count, 2-0. Carlson well off the line at third, about even with the bag. Nunez just kind of sitting and waiting because Dobbin is yet to find the strike zone. He bounced that one into the mitt of Duarte and is quickly behind 3-0. That one finds the strike zone as Nunez was taking all the way for strike one. Dobbins seemed to... That one was a bit more controlled, let's say. The first three, you might have been trying to overthrow him, so we'll see if he settles in here. As that pitch catches the outside corner, another fastball for strike two. So good job there by Dobbins to bounce back and load the count 3-2. First baseman Will Hite playing well back behind the bag near the... And there's a high chopper over to Kuhn, takes it on a high hop, throws it on over to Will Hite, who had to dive for it, kept a foot on the bag, a poor throw by Kuhn. Great work over there by Will Hite, and they're able to get Nunez on the 4-3 ground out. So really, really quality work over there by Will Hite. As head coach Gerald Randleston for the Fairfield Indians comes out to talk to the first base umpire, they want to confirm that Will Hite did, in fact, keep his foot on the bag. And they go ahead and confirm that that was, in fact, what had happened. And we now have one down here in the eighth, and that's going to bring up the right fielder, number 11, Tyler Thornley. Thornley had the bunt, had the beautiful bunt single back in the sixth, had a sack bunt in the first, and also has flied out to right. So he is 1-for-2 on the evening, but took that first pitch there in the dirt, low for ball one. Dobbin with a nice fastball there that catches the inside corner for strike one, 1-1 now. 45's defense straight up. That's the first breaking ball we've seen out of Dobbin, which misses wildly outside, goes back to the screen. No harm done with nobody on. Now 2-1 against Thornley. So Dobbin really wants to make sure he covers Humphrey here because Humphrey put together a really quality outing as that fastball misses high. And the 45s would really like to hold on to this lead. Maybe tack on a few insurance runs in the bottom of the eighth as there's a grounder over to Kuhn who's been busy this inning. Charges that one. Tosses on over to Will Hite. That was a slow roller. Four out, number two. So good work there by Dobbin. Good work there by Kuhn. All the way around. And we now have two down here, and we've got Jason Paulke coming to the dish. Paulke 0 for 2 tonight. He's grounded out to shortstop, flied out to right, and has also walked back in the sixth. He takes the first pitch and hits a sharp liner out the center. Good play out there by Pritchard to keep in front of it and hold Paulke at first, but that was a very hard hit ball. Good aggressive swing there on the first pitch of the at-bat. And the Indians have one aboard on the single. That's going to bring up the catcher, Davey Duncan. Davey so far tonight, 1-for-3. He did have a ground out, an RBI ground out to third back in the sixth. He's also singled out to center. Dobby now working out a stretch. Snap throw over to first as Davey Duncan in the batter's box wasn't even ready. But Thornley over there had already had his lead. Pretty good snap throw by Dobby, really. That play was probably a little bit closer than it should have been. But nonetheless, Dobbin, working out of the stretch, delivers to Duncan. That was a fastball that missed high. Four ball one. Will Hite holding Thornley on over there at first. We've seen Thornley already has a stolen base tonight. He's got good speed over there. Down 4-2, we might see some more aggressive base running. A pretty modest lead so far as that fastball misses high. Dobbin might be thinking about that speed, maybe just a little bit here as he's gotten a little loose and finds himself behind in the count 2-0 to the Indians catcher. Still no, we've got no action in either bullpen as we get close to the end here. As that fastball is high over the glove of Duarte, Thornley scampers on down to second, walks in easily, no throw needed. Duarte, that one bounced off the top of his glove. So that was three straight fastballs that missed well high by Dobbin. And the 45s don't want to mess around with this. They don't want to give the Indians any sort of chance to get back into this ball game at all. So Dobbin's really going to have to settle in here. And the 45s are going to have to sharpen up just a bit. Don't want to let your foot off the gas this late in the ball game. Dobbin, that fastball, belt high right down the middle for a strike. Now 3-1. Neither DeBrec nor Kuhn really holding on Thornley. Here comes Kuhn now in, going to step in a few steps, but Thornley with a really good size lead there at second as that fastball missed well high and inside. Duncan had to spin out of the way to keep it from hitting him in the shoulder, but that is ball four. And now Duarte is going to come out, and so is the 45's pitching coach. He's going to come on out and have a chat with old Dobbin here to try to settle him down because he's been a little loose so far. He's thrown 17 pitches already this inning. 10 of them for balls. So that's going to bring up Sean Jackson, who was Thursday's game one of this series starting pitcher. He's so far tonight, he's 1-for-3. He's got an RBI single to short. He has great speed and beat out a what would have been a really tough play by DeBrec there at shortstop anyway. But he's also struck out looking in the fourth, and he grounded out to the pitcher back in the second inning. But has a chance here with runners on first and second, two down here, top of the eighth. Dobbin, after the meeting with his pitching coach, definitely going to be looking to settle in. Working out of the stretch, delivers that pitch. That's a good sign. That was right down the middle for strike one. Good fastball there. Looks like it might have been a little bit of a slower delivery, so he might have just been a little bit out of sorts, a little bit out of tempo. Kuhn trying to hold Thornley on at second. There's a breaking ball. That one caught the plate as well, but I don't know if Duarte just took his eye off of it a little bit. It bounced out of his glove, got away from him, and each base runner for the Indians was able to advance 90 feet. So now they have runners on second and third. However, Jackson facing an 0-2 count. So the rest of this at-bat going to be very big because any sort of base hit is likely to score two and tie this ball game up. So Dobbin, here he goes. That's a fastball inside. That back Jackson off the plate just a little bit. Takes the count to 1-2. So nobody holding Duncan on at second. He's got a gigantic lead. Thornley modestly down the line. As there's a pitch that's lifted out to left field, but Gozo right there takes five steps to his left, makes the catch. Good work there by Dobbin out of the pen. Got out of a sticky situation. The 45s are going to take a 4-2 lead into the bottom of the eighth. You're listening to Colt 45's Baseball on KCNR 1460.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
And now back to more Colt 45's baseball action on KCNR AM 1460.
Welcome back to Historic Tiger Field and Colt 45's baseball, folks. We are here in the bottom of the eighth. The 45's up 4-2. It's been a good one tonight in chilly weather. But nonetheless, the 45s have done a good job bouncing back into this one. They've got 6 hits on the evening. The Fairfield Indians have 8. They do have 1 error. Coming up for the 45s here, we're going to have the third baseman, Eric Carlson, your catcher, Daniel Duarte, and your right fielder, J.J. Reeves. That's 6-7-8 in the order for those of you keeping score at home. And I believe that the 45s are probably going to want to try to tack on just one more insurance run just to pad that cushion a little bit going into the ninth.
Your third baseman.
Crowd now has dwindled just a little bit. I believe, got to imagine, I've seen some blankets being pulled out. Some folks trying to keep warm here. Get a hot cocoa from the snack bar. Not the worst idea ever. So here we go. Gustafson takes the mound for the Indians. Carlson stepping into the batter's box. He is 1-for-3 on the night. He's got an RBI double back in the sixth. And has also puffed up on the infield twice. The right-hander steps in. Here's Gustafson working quickly out of the stretch, or excuse me, out of the set. And that's a fastball on the inside corner for strike one. Defense for the Indians straight away. No action in either bullpen still. I thought maybe that the 45s might, as Carlson rips a line drive into center. That bounced in front of Terrell, who kind of caught him on an in-between hop. It gets by him. Carlson going into second. He's rounding second, heading to third, and he's going to be into third, standing up. So a misplay by the usually solid defensively Terrell out there in center for the Indians. Like you said, he tried to charge it because that ball was dropping out of the air quickly, but ended up catching him on an in-between hop and scooted by him. I got to imagine it's probably going to be ruled a single and an E8 on that one potentially. Probably a two-base error because if Terrell fields that one normally, I got to imagine Carlson just rounds first and scampers back.
Your catcher, number 5.
But I digress. We've got Duarte coming up now with that insurance run that I just talked about. Coming back from the break, which tonight's ballgame brought to you by Joe Rodola's Debt Consulting, locally owned and operated, committed to helping his customers achieve their dreams. Others might offer his services, but his comes with a personal touch. As that brings up Daniel Duarte, and that first pitch just high in the zone for ball one. With the insurance run that I mentioned at the top of this, or at the beginning of this half inning, just 90 feet away, and nobody out. As that one backed Duarte off, he had to dip his head out of the way. That got some oohs and ahs from the crowd there as that one brushed him back. Carlson taking a walking lead away from first as Duarte, that one had the launch angle of the moon as he swung right through that fastball, but he was trying to put that one into the Safeway parking lot out there in left. Gustafson working quickly now. There's a fastball. That one's over the plate for strike two. As Duarte finds himself in a 2-2 count. On deck is Reeves, the right fielder, number 21. Infield playing a bit in, which makes sense with the runner at third. Duarte awaits and swings through that one. He was late. I don't think he was expecting fastball there, and Gustafson blew that one right by him for strike three. And the first out of this inning.
J.J. Reeves.
So that's going to bring up the left-handed hitting Reeves. Davey Duncan behind the plate, sending some sort of signs. That was out to his left fielder out there. That is Wadley, and brought him in a few steps. Reeves waits on the first pitch. That's a fastball that misses low and outside. Duncan tried to frame it. Home plate umpire not buying it. So Reeves working ahead in the count 1-0. Gustafson out of the stretch now delivers as Reeves swings through that fastball.
and misses for strike one. Now 1-1. Derek Kuhn on deck for the 45s after he reached base in every at-bat in his season debut with the 45s back on Thursday. Is 0-2 tonight. Reeves turned to bunt. Looked like the 45s actually put on the squeeze play there as Carlson had gotten a running start down the third baseline, but Reeves missed it. Luckily, Carlson was able to get back to the bag at third. That would have been a pretty fun play to watch had Reeves been able to put that one into play. But now it's 1-2, one down here in the top of the eighth, bottom of the eighth. Gustafson looking into a sign from Duncan. Infield in, Carlson running down the line. And that's a fastball that misses low and inside for ball two. 2-2 now to Reeves. I think no matter what, I mean, the 45s have to be pretty proud of their effort tonight because they started down, they were down 0-2, or they were down 2-0, 2-0, as that's a foul ball that hit Duncan, the catcher, fouled off of him. He's a bit shaken up, but he walks off. He's tough. He's a hockey player. That's all catchers are, really. They're hockey players in disguise. As Reeves is able to stay alive in the at-bat. But either way, the bats did come alive. It was a really solid start there by Cito for the Indians. As Gustafson delivers a fastball there, that was high, and that runs the count full. And the 45s hitters have to be pretty proud of how they were able to pick up James Humphrey, who was just dealing until that sixth inning when he gave up two runs. That happened really quickly. Until that time, he had just been mowing through batters. As Reeves swings at ball four, that had bounced in the dirt. It got away from Duncan, who Reeves had started to haphazardly run down to first with his bat. So Duncan made sure that Carlson wasn't trying to run home from third and then threw Reeves out down at first. But he swung at ball four that really wasn't close. But we digress, and we move on to Derek Kuhn, the number nine hitter. As we mentioned, 45s really like to bring in Carlson from third. As Kuhn takes the first offering from Gustafson for strike one. Gustafson working quickly now, and that's a foul ball. Ooh, that was out into the parking lot that ricocheted off of a lamppost into one of the K-9 unit vehicles. So Kuhn might want to look for a parking ticket on his car after the game is over. At the very least, a verbal warning, I would imagine. Gustafson working out of the set here. Up 0-2 in the count. As he throws a breaking ball that misses high and gets away from Duncan. Carlson faked down the line, got about a third of the way down. Oh, my goodness. So Carlson had gotten about a third of the way down, decided he wasn't going to go. Duncan hustled over, made a throw over to Gustafson, who misplayed it, and it got by him. Luckily, Jackson was there to back up the first baseman. But Carlson had already started to make his return back to third base, so the missed throw by Duncan to Gustafson didn't mean anything. But here we go now, 1-2 to Kuhn. As there's a sharply hit grounder over to second, Palky to his left makes the throw over to first to Jackson, and that is out number three. We're going to the top of the ninth. The 45s have a chance to close it out. They're up 4-2. You're listening to Colt 45's Baseball on KCNR 1460.
Are you struggling financially? Swallowed up in debt? Are you looking to buy a house but are not sure of your credit standing?
What does that credit score even mean?
Why are there three different bureaus?
What score is most important?
Looking for a local expert?
Give me, Joe Radola, a call. Your credit affects everything from borrowing money to landing that perfect job. With over 40 years of providing financial services, I am committed to helping you achieve your goal. I can provide you with full credit report, an in-depth review for only $25. Let me provide you with the tools you need to improve your credit standing and your financial freedom. give me a call today, Joe Rodola, 941-3021, or on the web at jrdebtconsulting.com. Your local choice in credit repair.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
You're listening to Colt 45 Baseball on AM 1460 KCNR.
Welcome back to Historic Tiger Field, folks. We are in the top of the ninth. Your Colt 45 is up 4-2. Noah Dobbin back on the hill. He's going to be facing Ike Brown. The number, that's the number six hitter. The number seven hitter is the pinch hitter that I still don't know. The Indians do not have, they didn't provide me with a lineup card that had numbers on it, and their online roster is not up to date, so I don't know who he is. He's number 43, though. He'll be batting in the 7 spot, and then the 8 spot had Hari Wadley. So far in this at-bat, Ike Brown, he swung through the first pitch for strike one. The second one missed. Dobbin was out there tying his shoe just now. So it's 1-1. Dobbin working out of the set, delivers an off-speed pitch there that broke out over the plate and kind of caught Hunt off guard, Brown off guard, buckled him a little bit, and he didn't take the offering, and he's now down 1-2. And he swings through that fastball there. That was about belt high for strike three, one down. Good pitching there by Dobbin. And that's going to be his first strikeout in relief. That brings up number 43, who started the swing at that pitch that was low and into the dirt, realized it was low, thought about stopping his swing, but continued to swing, and it looked like it was about a 23% effort swing. And he takes the fastball there, strike two. That was about belt high. That made a loud snap into the catcher Duarte's glove, who caught it just right. So Dobbin quickly up 0-2. Offers a fastball there. That one's high and outside for ball one. You can tell the 45s can kind of taste this one. Hopefully Dobbin can keep it going here. Let's see what he offers here on this fourth offering. As that's a breaking ball that number 43 swings through for strike three. That's the second strikeout of the inning for Dobbin. Both of them swinging, and the Indians are down to their last out here in the ball game. That's going to bring up the left fielder head, Hari Wadley, number 17. Here's Dobbin working out of the set. He delivers. Wadley swings through that one for strike one. Indians now down to their last two strikes as the crowd comes alive here at Historic Tiger Field. They can taste the victory as well. If Wadley were to reach the number 9 hitter, as Wadley swings through that one as well, 0-2. A few folks of the crowd rise to their feet here at Historic Tiger Field. As I mentioned, Jordan Terrell would be on deck if Wadley were able to reach, but here comes the third pitch. It's a breaking ball. Ring him up. Strike three. Noah Dobbin strikes out the side in the top of the ninth, and that's your ball game, folks. Colt 45's 4, Fairfield Tigers 2. So far, the 45s have won all three games of this four-game set. Game four tomorrow, I believe, a 6:15 first pitch. The 45s are looking for a sweep. That takes them to 5-4. They're in the winning side of the margin now. 5-4 on the season. The Fairfield Indians fall to 3-6. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back with some post-game thoughts. But once again, your final score here, 4-2. In favor of your Colt 45s, you're listening to Colt 45s Baseball on KCNR 1460.
A jury deliberation room filled with 12 men, ordinary people just like you or me who must decide the outcome of a murder trial. Experience for yourself as dramas run high, tempers flare, and personal prejudices are tested, all while the life of one 19-year-old man hangs in the balance.
Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present 12... Hi, we're Billy and Patrick for Redding Kia and America's Best Value Summer Event. Now extended through June with some of the best deals on wheels.
Like the 50-mile-per-gallon 2018 Kia Niro Hybrid. The Niro has set a new standard in hybrid technology, and it is beyond comfortable.
Redding Kia has a great selection this month, and you're invited to take a test drive, make a great deal, and start saving money right now.
The 2018 Kia Soul remains one of the North State's favorite crossovers, and over 1 million have hit the road in the USA since being introduced in 2010. Get yours today in your favorite designer color, including the new Caribbean Blue.
And don't miss your chance to save on the new 2019 all-wheel drive Kia Sorento and the completely redesigned 2019 Kia Rio.
Every new Kia from Redding Kia comes with complimentary no-cost oil changes and tire rotations.
The best deals this month are at America's Best Value Summer Event at Redding Kia. Redding Kia Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, RedingKia.com.
Ends June 30th, 2018.
This is Carl and Linda Bott. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here in the studios at KCNR 1460. On Monday, we welcome Assemblyman Brian Daly. Let's find out what's happening in Sacramento. What are all of these laws, including the newest bill that says you can only have 55 gallons of water to use daily? What's the impact on people up here in Northern California? This and Shasta College with the latest on what's happening out there on campus. All of this Monday right here, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a watt.
You're listening to Colt 45's Baseball on KCNR AM 1460.
So a big win for your Colt 45s here tonight as they have swept this this homestand so far. They've won the first three games. Tomorrow, once again, the final game of this four-game set. First pitch, 6:15. The highlights of tonight's game, really, it's all about James Humphrey, who came out and threw a real gem for the 45s. He threw seven solid innings of work. He gave up six hits. He did give up two earned runs, both of them in the sixth, but struck out six. And the 45s really broke out also in the bottom half of that sixth inning. They responded immediately with doubles by Marcus Wilhite, Eric Carlson, and Daniel Duarte, back-to-back-to-back doubles, RBI doubles for Carlson and Duarte. And then Reeves was able to reach on an error by the second baseman, Palky, for the Fairfield Indians that allowed Duarte to score from second. And so they were able to rebound and take the lead there back in the sixth. They added on one more for your 4-2 victory, and that was tonight's final. So the 45s really bounced back, now 5-4 on the season, with a winning record, going to look to finish the sweep tomorrow night. Once again, 6:15 here at Historic Tiger Field in Redding, California. I want to thank you all for listening to Colt 45's Baseball here, and we're going to wrap it up for tonight. So thank you all for hanging in. For those of you who did, you've been listening to Colt 45's Baseball on KCNR 1460.
I was at Pearl Harbor. I've only been to Hawaii once. We went to Pearl Harbor, and there were two men signing their individual books about their accounts. And then you realize we only have a few more years left when someone could say, I actually survived Pearl Harbor. Number two is something that we have not discussed heavily. As we watch to see what happens with this North Korea summit, we're going to think about, I think we're going to start to understand what it was like to fight in the Korean conflict, which was a war. Gets no respect right after World War II and between Vietnam. And these people that fought in that brutal war when China came in basically with hatchets and rifles and chopped us up on Thanksgiving Day when we thought we were just ready to get out there, we're going to start going back and accounting. And I think the Korean War vets, my hope, if we things go well and we officially end this war,
that's a great point.
That's going to be a new story that we should have reported a long time ago.
There's a great book you can read. It's called The General versus the President, and it's really worth your time. It's MacArthur versus Truman, but it takes you through exactly what you're describing there in the early 1950s. H.W. Abrams, I think, is his name, a professor out of Austin, Texas. Great read.
Right. And by the way, a little bit
It's a great point.
Victor Davis Hanson was on with us. He's from the Hoover Institute, and he's one of the deep thinkers, has no problem with this president, a conservative columnist. He wrote a column how Truman is exactly like Trump in so many ways. If he had Twitter, Truman would have got himself in even more trouble.
Really?
Because he played poker at night, drank at night with his buddies, called out generals, even though he was a captain. In fact, here is Harry Truman talking about why he had to get rid of MacArthur.
I believe that we must try to limit the war to Korea to make sure that the precious lives of our fighting men are not wasted, to see that the security of our country and the free world is not needlessly jeopardized, and to prevent a third world war. A number of events have made it evident that General MacArthur did not agree with that policy. I have therefore considered it essential to relieve General MacArthur so that there would be no doubt or confusion as to the real purpose and aim of our policy.
And Martha, think about this, and Bill. Think about this. He fired a guy they gave a ticker tape parade to while he had 32% approval rating. He just was making decisions he thought was right.
But that's incredible. And, you know, you think about his background. He, you know, owned a men's clothing store. He was a businessman. He was a political outsider. They do have a lot in common. It's a very interesting parallel.
All right, let's end with this, Martha, because I know you got to go.
I want to end with something else.
No, Ray, wait, just
can
real quick.
I?
Can I just finish up the Korea thing? Dennis Rodman's going. Dennis Rodman's going.
Yeah.
I mean,
why?
What is that about?
He's
going to
stay in Singapore because he says he's responsible.
Is Dennis Rodman doing this for Dennis Rodman? I believe so.
Well, I don't think he's doing it for the Pistons.
Was he invited by the White House?
No.
Was he invited by the Koreans?
No.
Dennis Rodman's doing this for Dennis Rodman.
Well, Kim Jong-un is his friend. And he said that one of the keys that brought us together was that he gave Kim Jong-un part of the deal.
I'm aware of the story. Can you see, Martha, can you see Chairman Kim, President Trump, and Dennis Rodman in the same picture?
You know, I sincerely hope that that doesn't happen, although I can imagine a scenario where it does. Because, you know, look at the Kim Kardashian picture. I mean, this is a president who loves celebrities. And I sincerely hope that does not happen. You know, to me, Dennis Rodman showing up at this thing is kind of like when an ex-girlfriend shows up at a wedding that they're not invited to. You know, it's like, great, you know, you may have helped in some way to get to facilitate this somewhere along the line, but it's time for you to step back and let the professionals take over.
Martha, how much did we help Ryan through his week? I mean, Wednesday's hump day, you think about it, and you and I come strolling in here with a, you know, just ready to vomit all the angst.
And
of
what do you find? What do you find me? Do you find me a broken man when you walk in usually?
No, I really enjoy your company, actually.
Otherwise,
I wouldn't be coming back.
We're grateful to you, Brian.
Yeah, no, I'm grateful to you.
Really. It's been so much fun.
Well, listen, you can't say goodbye to me, but you can say goodbye
I'm
to
not.
Me now. But I will say
I'm
this.
Excited because it's going to be kill, meet, and friend.
Right, that's it. So, Martha, we're gonna watch your show tonight at 7. We're going to look for that feature on the World War II vet. We're going to watch the story all the time and wish Bill
great
the best,
stuff.
Right?
Great stuff. I'll see you in the hallway, Martha.
Come on over and see me for real.
For sure.
All right, we'll see you at the Christmas party.
Love you guys.
All right. See you, Martha. Love you, too.
All right. So Bill, I mean,
she's clearly in need of more to know. It hasn't changed, and it's not going
to
change.
Hey, you know what, Pete? I haven't even seen your more to know. I mean, did you make up a more to know today? Oh, you did?
Yeah, of course. I was just saying goodbye to Martha.
Oh, okay. All right. We're going to come back with Bill Hemmer's final more to know. Let's find out more to know. Back in a moment.
Ryan Kilmeade, working up a sweat to bring you the latest news and opinions.
It's hard to look good and make sense when people are staring at your sweaty body.
Try not to stare. It's Ryan Kilmeade.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-545-0785. That's 1-800-545-0785. Again, 1-800-545-0785.
Here's a special message for those of you who owe the IRS at least $10,000 or more in back taxes. The IRS has special programs in place that could eliminate or reduce your tax debt by thousands of dollars. Call the Federal Tax Management Helpline that has been set up for you, 800-233-8540. Stop the wage garnishments, levies, and tax liens now. Once you've qualified and enrolled, the IRS will stop all the collection activities against you. These unique programs have been allocated to help the economy and significantly reduce or eliminate your tax burden. The IRS is currently accepting reduced settlements and other favorable programs. You may qualify for substantial savings, so get the help you need. If you owe more than $10,000 in taxes, call for free information and to see if you qualify. Take down the number now for the Federal Tax Management Hotline, 800-233-8540. That's 800-233-8540. 800-233-8540.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
A dentist from New Jersey makes the Dean's List for making his patients smile. A viral video featuring Dr. Eyal Simchi from Riverfront Pediatric Dentistry has been seen millions of times because of the dentist's methods of calming his young patients in the office. He calls it the magic ball of light. The technique is just one of Dr. Simchi's many methods to make his kids feel less scared. From blowing bubbles to magic tricks and stuffed animals, it's pretty clear to see that his no-tear techniques work very well.
In there? Oh, got it.
Not only are the kids delighted by the trick, but hundreds of other adults watching the clip are puzzled by the illusion. We don't want to spoil the secret, so we'll keep the answer to ourselves.
Bye!
Thank you, Dr. Simchi. Your patients are lucky to have you as their dentist, and we want to learn more of your magic tricks. You made the Dean's List. Janice Dean, Fox News.
From Fox News Talk, here's another sound memory.
Although Neil Hefti was a big band trumpeter and composer for the movies The Odd Couple and Barefoot in the Park, he will always be best remembered as the composer of the iconic theme of the 1960s superhero TV series Batman. The theme was released as a single, won a Grammy Award in 1966, and became a top 40 radio hit.
Stay tuned to hear more sound memories on Fox News Talk. That makes you think. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show. More to know.
And Bill Hemmer, as you get set to make America's Newsroom 3 hours long and take that final hour yourself, final, more to know. First off, Kellyanne Conway appears to have mislabeled the president's title. Let's listen together.
And the problem with the President of the United States and the Commander-in-Chief expressing that opinion is exactly what? The NFL has its own opinion. Some players have their own opinions.
Commander of cheese.
Mostly Parmesan is probably what I would go for, I think. Grated, probably the best. That's
right.
A little bit of olive oil, maybe a little bit of salt.
Do you think it was big cheese?
It could be the big cheese. Yeah, that's right.
Is that embarrassing? I mean, it is on media.
Come on.
It's no big deal, right?
I'm sure Kellyanne would laugh about it. Okay.
She might, but it's tough to laugh these days about anything.
Without getting in trouble.
Right. Let's talk a little bit about the president now loses another aide, but this is the one who is responsible for making the comments reportedly about John McCain. Don't worry about his vote. He's going to die anyway. It looks like leaving now will be that aide. How do you feel about that?
There is a leaker in the White House and probably a few of them. And I think they come from very high-ranking positions.
Right. So I think it was smart for her career to wait a little while. It would have been great just to have an apology, but the president doesn't really.
Yeah, a lot of that news gets lost, as you know, because things are moving so quickly.
Yeah, and that is Kelly Sadler.
Sadler, yes. S-A-D-L-E-R.
All right, let's take a look at this. Social Security and Medicare ready to go bust sooner than expected. Can you believe that? We hear that Medicare will become insolvent in 2026, 3 years earlier than expected, and Social Security, 2034.
They had a chance to figure this all out. They blew it with Boehner and Obama. Paul Ryan's big objective was to do something on it. He's going to leave Congress having been unable to. And the arguments we've had over the past 10 years, they will not be new to the American audience.
Hey,
they're coming back.
We easily could get rid of Social Security and fix it by raising the retirement age, but people are afraid to do that.
Did you go 65 to 67?
Yeah.
What is it, 67 to 70?
You could take another month of Social Security benefits from us. A lot of times we cap out too early.
You're saying there are solutions to that.
Right.
What about Medicare?
Huge. They got to attack that big time. But that's the problem. They go, oh, Medicare is great. Well, it doesn't matter. It's insolvent. We're into the,
60% of government funding is declared by law, correct?
Yes.
So you can't touch it.
Get this.
That's a lot.
Into reality shows?
Yeah, a little bit. What do you have?
I have this. Chip and Joanne Gaines. Uh-huh. You know that they're the fixer-upper people?
Yeah.
The stars of that popular show have been fined $40,000 by the EPA for improper handling of harmful lead-based paint. Chip Gaines will have to release a short video from dangers of lead-based paint within 90 days. Your feelings?
Let's pick a better can next time.
Lester Holt. Embattled now.
What happened?
His ratings are dropping big time. He finishes behind the ABC's World News Tonight with David Muir among the key demo for the second consecutive week. The latest sign that Holt has not recovered from the presidential debate he moderated in the fall of 2016.
Maybe. I think David Muir's got a faster program. I think that's what people are going for. You watch Muir's story count is really high. He moves that 24 minutes of news along pretty well.
Okay.
You need help.
IHOP or IHOB, the International House of Pancakes, is on Monday going to go IHOB.
I think the B stands for bacon.
Do you really?
International House of Bacon.
Some say Brian.
That would be interesting.
Right.
Because the smart money's on breakfast, but we know it can't be that. Can
it could be brunch? Yeah, because you don't want breakfast because that would tell people it's not okay for dinner anymore.
Yeah.
What makes it international?
I don't know. But McDonald's went to breakfast 24/7, so it's going to happen.
Question. Does an election...
Let me ask you, are you on a delay or am I on a delay?
question. Does an election count if Arthur Fondarelli doesn't get a ballot?
Oh, good point. I mean, Tuesday night at 8 o'clock, I was right there, man.
Henry Winkler
waiting for him.
Did not have a ballot for this past election, the Fonz. So the question is, did they give him a blank ballot? The answer is no.
Oh.
120,000 people, including Henry Winkler.
What do you think was going on there?
All I know is you can't blame Trump because they don't listen to Trump at all for anything. Bill Hemmer, thanks for the memories.
I'll see you down the road.
Fox and Friends.
We're waking up America and we're telling them what's going on in the world. And that is such an awesome responsibility, but it's fun. What we're trying to do is not only tell you what's going on, but the backstory.
We're able to tell the folks at home, hey, this is important to you. This is why you need to listen. We have a great, honest conversation about what's happening in the news.
When people meet us, when they see us, they feel like they know us because guess what? They do. The only way to be successful on Fox is to be yourself.
Fox and Friends on Fox News Channel. Real news, real honest opinion.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp. Get started with your idea. Call for free information.
Call us at 1-800-545-0785. That's 1-800-545-0785.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Democratic nominee and 42nd President of the United States, Bill Clinton, addressed the Democratic Convention in 1992 at Madison Square Garden in New York City.
Let it be our cause that we give this child a country that is coming together, not coming apart. A country of boundless hopes and endless dreams. A country that once again lifts its people and inspires the world. Let that be our cause, our commitment, and our new covenant. My fellow Americans, I end tonight where it all began for me. I still believe in a place called hope. God bless you, and God bless America.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau at the end of the G7 summit said the weekend was a moderate success.
If the expectation was that a weekend in beautiful Charlevoix surrounded by all sorts of lovely people was going to transform the president's outlook on trade and the world, then we didn't quite perhaps meet that bar.
President Trump tweeted while he was aboard Air Force One heading to Singapore for his Tuesday meeting with Kim Jong-un that he now does not endorse the G7 joint statement after what he calls Trudeau's false statements, calling them dishonest and weak. Before leaving Quebec, Mr. Trump said that the G7 summit partners should not try to counter his decision to impose tariffs and steel and aluminum imports. He said if they do retaliate, they're making a mistake. A helicopter hit power lines, plunged into the Fox River in eastern Wisconsin Saturday, killing one man. The Winnebago County Sheriff's Office says the helicopter went down near the Wisconsin Street Bridge in Oshkosh. It's about 94 miles north of Milwaukee after it hit some electrical wires. Move over, America, because American Pharoah, another horse is joining an elite club of only 12 others.
Justify won the Triple Crown on Saturday. The Preakness and Kentucky Derby winner became Thoroughbred Racing's 13th Triple Crown winner with a front-running victory at the Belmont Stakes in New York. This marks the second Triple Crown win for trainer Bob Baffert and the first for jockey Mike Smith. Meanwhile, Gronkowski finished second and Hofberg came in third.
Andrew Stewart reporting. By the way, Mike Smith at 52 is the oldest jockey to ride a Triple Crown winner. He, in fact, rode Justify in all three races of the Crown. More news at townhall.com.
If you're looking for a way to become politically involved but you don't have the time, you can easily make conservative change happen every time you use your cell phone. Patriot Mobile is the only conservative cell phone company in the nation that fights for your values. They partner with conservative organizations to contribute a portion of each member's bills to the causes that they believe in. Patriot Mobile can be your cell phone provider today. They can help you support vital conservative organizations and provide reliable nationwide coverage on unlimited plans starting at just $20 a month. This month, you can save big and get the iPhone 6S or a brand new Samsung J7 for only $6 a month. Make the switch at 1-800-A-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com. That's patriotmobile.com or call 1-800-A-PATRIOT. Be a patriot. Switch and make conservative change today by using your cell phone. PatriotMobile.com, your new cellular resource for patriotism.
A bipartisan coalition of mayors says American cities are overwhelmingly driving the nation's economy.
The U.S. Conference of Mayors says in its latest Metro Economies report
that metropolitan regions accounted for about 96% of the country's job growth in 2017, it says cities and their suburbs added nearly 2 million new jobs.
Correspondent Dennis Crowley reporting. The report projects that cities in the American South and West will see the strongest economic growth in 2019, but also warns that the looming retirement of the baby boom generation will likely slow economic expansion across the country. Alexa for Couch Potatoes is coming. Amazon's new streaming TV device, the Fire TV Cube, will let users shout out what they want to turn on the TV or flip channels. More on these stories at townhall.com. Attorneys who represented the office of former Missouri Governor Eric Greitens have in the legislative investigation have billed the state for more than $150,000.
The Office of Administration said Friday that it is still reviewing the request for payment. Records show that the Graves Garrett Law Firm in Kansas City billed the state more than $89,000 that covers 260 hours of work by four employees plus expenses from April 27th to May 29th. The Connecticut-based Shippen and Goodwin Law Firm billed Missouri more than $64,000 on behalf of attorney Ross Garber, an impeachment specialist. Greitens announced on May 29th that he was resigning. Patrick Foss reporting.
John Lasseter, the co-founder of Pixar Animation Studios and Walt Disney Company's animation chief, is stepping down at the end of the year after acknowledging missteps in his behavior with staff members. 61-year-old Lasseter in November took what he called a six-month sabbatical. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
In 30 seconds, enjoy. From the Fox News radio studios in New York City, fresh off the set of Fox and Friends, it's America's receptive voice, Brian Kilmeade.
Hi, everyone. It's going to be a big hour coming your way. We're going to be joined by John Curacao and shortly, former CIA guy, as well as Bruce Fein. Bruce is John's lawyer and assistant deputy attorney general under President Reagan, and John is a former senior investigator with the Senate Foreign Relations Committee and former CIA Pakistan station chief who was imprisoned for, they say, leaking the fact that the CIA waterboarded terrorists in 2007. We're going to get the other side of the story, as well as we have Peter Baker, the New York Times chief White House correspondent and best-selling author, Days of Fire, Bush and Cheney in the White House. He also did a great look at what I have not had a chance to read, Ben Rhodes' book. But he was able to do a brief summary of some excerpts and let us know what the president was thinking as Donald Trump was elected president of the United States. But first things first, big three.
Now, with the biggest things you need to know, to the power of three, it's Brian's big three. Number three.
This whole thing is a political stunt generated by the White House. This is all about politics.
Joe Lockhart, he used to try to explain things for President Clinton, and now was NFL communications chief, tries to explain how bad the White House was in telling the Eagles to stay home. Someone should tell Joe Lockhart the Eagles decided to stay home. In fact, 2 weeks ago, they asked for 80 passes. Friday, they asked for a handful. On Monday, they were canceled. So it really was a play by the Eagles. And now we're going to hear from their coach maybe within this hour, so don't move.
Number two.
Right now, North Korea, another hotel room needed because a 6'9" former NBA star will be going to Singapore. None other than Dennis Rodman decides he will make the trip. And by the way, takes full credit, almost full credit, for the fact that this summit is taking place. I'll explain.
Number one.
What did Obama know about this, and when was he briefed on this? I don't think he was in the dark about this the whole time at all. I think Obama knew exactly what was going on.
He says he thinks, but he doesn't know. Well, soon, I hope, we all know. Congressman Ron DeSantis, last night with Laura Ingraham, talk about it, too. For Peter Strzok had a larger role, we understand, according to his boss, at the FBI in counterintelligence and with the Russia probe than we originally thought, and Andy McCabe would like immunity. Yes, from Senator Grassley. So he can plead his case and why he was right and James Comey, his former boss, was wrong. Or else he'll plead the fifth. He'll end up in a morass of legal gymnastics. Joining us now is Peter Baker. Peter, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Peter, not much going on at your beat these days, huh?
Very slow, very slow.
Hey, before we talk about what made headlines last week with Ben Rhodes, talk about something that keeps getting played over and over again. The president tweeting about Senator Sessions, now that he's Attorney General Sessions, and recusing himself without telling him. Why do you think the president is so fixated on this?
It's really interesting. One of the things that was particularly interesting I thought about yesterday's tweet was he said sort of more explicitly than I think he's said in the past is the reason why he wanted Jeff Sessions to stay there was that he would be able to shut down the Russia investigation. In his mind, of course, it's unfair, it's a hoax, a witch hunt, as he puts it, and therefore Jeff Sessions wasn't there because he recused himself from being able to shut it down. Now, the interesting thing that's about that is we see with this letter that went to Mueller that the president's own lawyers are asserting a pretty expansive view of his power, and they say he has the power already to shut it down. So it's interesting that he continues to be so angry at Sessions when he himself has the power to shut it down if he wanted to and has chosen not to, for probably some obvious reasons.
Yeah, I mean, he does have the power. If he did that, it would be politically explosive, even in politically explosive times. I just want you to hear with John Roberts and the question he got when he put that question to Sarah Sanders yesterday, Cut 29.
The president again took a stick to his favorite pinata, Jeff Sessions, today. What is the president's goal here? Is it just simply to remind the attorney general that he's really PO'd at him and he's not going to let him forget it? Is he trying to get him to quit? Is he trying to emasculate him? Hold him up? I mean, what is the president trying to do?
Look, the president's made his position on this extremely clear, and I don't have anything to add beyond that.
But I guess, what is she supposed to say to that? But that is legitimately a question that comes up regularly because Jeff Sessions decided to recuse himself, which has been brought up, and Rudy Giuliani brought it up, too. He said, if it was me and I was attorney general and the Russia thing began to emerge, he said, I would have just resigned because the president deserves to have an attorney general that's not was not involved in the campaign. Peter.
Well, it's a good question, right? So he has brought this up now for almost a year in public, but he hasn't acted on it, okay? He can fire Jeff Sessions if he wants to. Jeff Sessions made clear he doesn't want to resign. There's no actual decision being made right now, so why bring it up now? Why does it come up? It's just constantly eating away at him, clearly. And, I talked to one of Jeff Sessions' former aides yesterday. He says, look, he thinks what's happening is that he would like to fire Jeff Sessions, but that Jeff Sessions is really popular among some of the conservatives who the president still needs and wants to have on his side, especially as he goes through all these investigations. And that if he were to get rid of Jeff Sessions, that would, alienate him from some conservatives. So by continuing to kind of pile on with some of these tweets, maybe he's discrediting Jeff Sessions in a way that might make it more possible. That's what Jeff Sessions' former aide says. But it also could be that he's just upset. He holds on to these things, and he expresses them when he feels it. And I think that, we look for strategy sometimes when sometimes it's just, emotion or personal reaction.
Expand the case a little bit. Lindsey Graham, who's hardly somebody who gets up in the day and thinks, how can I defend the president? He takes him on when he thinks he has to. I think he plays it pretty – calls balls and strikes pretty effectively. And he said, look, I want Mueller to play this thing out. But he's got an issue with Rod Rosenstein, the deputy who takes over and appoints Robert Mueller. Cut five.
I've written him a letter, and he needs to respond. He was part of the request chain for the FISA warrant. You know, he's a fine man, very ethical, good guy, but we're going to play this thing straight. And here's the question for Rosenstein. If you're going to be a fact witness as to why Comey was fired, how do you stay involved?
Is that a good question, Peter?
Well, it is an interesting question, right, because he is a fact witness. I mean, his involvement in the decision to fire Jim Comey, you know, seems to be one of the issues that Robert Mueller is looking at. Having said that, there's an extra complication, which is that if he were to step down, if he were to recuse himself, who would be next? The number three person at the Justice Department, Rachel Brand, left a while back. The Wall Street Journal reported this morning they haven't had a chance, they haven't been able to find any replacer, that they've asked several people who don't want to do it. They've kind of now put that on hold. So who would then step in to actually manage this investigation? It becomes a complicated question if Rosenstein does recuse himself. But Senator Graham raises, you know, these questions. We haven't heard Rod Rosenstein give his answer on why his own involvement doesn't require him to recuse himself.
So, Peter, what I'm wondering, and I'm wondering, we're watching the Peter Strzok thing play out. While watching Andy McCabe ask for immunity, we're seeing the James Comey book tour happen. But yet we see the Robert Mueller probe go one way, and we're seeing the IG report go the other way. In the perfect world, shouldn't Robert Mueller be just as curious about what Peter Strzok and others were up to? I know he kicked him off. Mueller kicked him off his panel for a while. But don't you think it plays into the same story? What took place for 18 months? And who was, what were they up to? I don't know why the two worlds can't meet.
Well, that's a good question. We don't know, of course, what Robert Mueller is doing or not doing. I mean, I think we ought to be very humble about our understanding of what his investigation encompasses and what it doesn't. We get clues here or there because some defense attorneys or some other people who have been in contact with them tell us about some encounter they might have had. But the truth is Robert Mueller's office has been pretty tight and pretty hard to read at times. Sometimes they come out with something and you're completely surprised by it. So they may have their own they may already know more about this than we know. They may be waiting for the IG report to decide whether there's anything there that they need to worry about. Mm-hmm. I just don't know the answer to the question.
So, Peter, looking ahead right now, do you think this new approach, Rudy Giuliani in the lead and the new faces on the president's legal team, do you think he's affecting the timeline on the probe? From what in your opinion, do you think he's speeding things up, putting pressure on Mueller to wrap this thing up regardless of his conclusions?
Yeah, I know. It's a great question. It's definitely a different tack than Ty Cobb and John Dowd had taken. Those are the president's previous lawyers who are now out of the picture. They had tried to keep the president calm and say, look, you're innocent. You haven't done anything. Therefore, just let it play out. Be cooperative, and it'll work out. Clearly, the president got tired of that. He clearly decided he didn't like how long this is going on, or he felt threatened in some way, and he decided he wanted a more aggressive approach. Rudy Giuliani has given him that aggressive approach. But I don't know what that does for Mueller. I don't know how that plays in. One thing we haven't seen, of course, is a resolution on this question of whether the president will talk with Mueller or not. At one point, they had talked about this way back in January. In December, they didn't come to a deal. At one point, Rudy Giuliani says we'll make a decision by May 17th. That day's come and gone. Obviously, this North Korea summit next week makes it, you know, problematic to make a decision until after that, probably. But if they want him to wrap this up by the end of summer, as they have said, because the midterms will be, in full force in the fall, then this question of whether he's going to talk or not would presumably have to be resolved pretty soon.
And they'd have to have that conversation. Could you do it? I mean, theoretically, could you say, hey, I'll sit down with you if you promise to wrap it up September 30th?
I don't think you could. I don't think Mueller would probably make that kind of a deal. That's probably beyond the scope of a
right.
negotiation for this kind of thing. But look, when President Clinton sat down in 1998 for his grand jury testimony, he was subpoenaed. They concluded he couldn't fight a subpoena, that there was no legal basis to fight. But they negotiated some conditions, and I can imagine obviously this team is trying to do the same. You know, in Clinton's case, it was let's limit it to 4 hours. My lawyers can be in the room. We're going to do it at the White House, not at the courthouse. And those were important to him. And I presume that President Trump has some conditions if he were going to talk that are important to him. But most lawyers think he's probably not there's probably a real danger for him in testifying. And if there's a way for him to get out of it, they still would like to do that.
Yeah, I think so. So you had a chance to look at Ben Rhodes' book or the excerpt I read. You were the first one to have it reported in the New York Times, Peter Baker. And we got to go inside the president's head as the election results roll in. And it's not going to be Hillary Clinton. And his legacy will be at least temporarily undone because Donald Trump won. How does Ben Rhodes characterize the president's interpretation of what the electorate said with Hillary Clinton's defeat?
Well, it's interesting. You know, so Rose, of course, is a longtime loyalist to President Obama, worked for him for 8 years in the White House as well as before, and it's often said to have kind of a mind meld with the president. So having a chance to see his book gives you at least a little bit of a window into President Obama's reaction after the election. Remember, he's a pretty tight guy. Unlike the current president, he doesn't sort of tell us what he thinks very often. He clearly was upset about the election. What Rhodes described as sort of like the stages, going through the stages of grief, right? Anger, denial, rejection, and so forth. And at various points, he seemed kind of to take a long view, look, history zigs and zags. At other times, he was like, you know, well, what happened? How did this happen? And he actually said, you know, what? Maybe we were wrong, he said, or maybe I was too early, which some of which implies, of course, that the country wasn't ready for his style of politics or an African-American president or what have you. We don't know because he doesn't say exactly. But when he says, what if we were wrong, he doesn't really elaborate on what that might mean. What about being wrong might they have been? We don't really know from the book. But it is a first look at President Obama's sort of reaction post-election. He didn't think much of Trump. I think we're not surprised by that.
Basically calls him a cartoon.
He says he's like a cartoon figure, right? Doesn't seem very serious on policy. When they met in the White House after the election, President-elect Trump kept bringing up the size of his rallies. But I think it's not a surprise. I think that's what we would expect probably from President Obama and his view of President Trump. We probably know President Trump's view of him as well. But it is interesting to get a chance to have a look at it.
Here's Ben Rhodes on CBS. He's now employed with NBC. He's got a job, but talking about his book, Cut 40.
And I think what he's referring to there is a sense of globalization, of immigration and trade, that we're part of an enterprise, basically, a liberal international order that had pushed very far at changing the nature of our world over the last several decades. And the question is, did that get too far ahead of voters in places like the United States and the United Kingdom, you know, who were feeling a sense of uncertainty because of that change?
I don't know. I actually think that's a cocky way to approach it. You could just say, hey, the Middle East got worse. ISIS cropped up. The Iran deal was horrendous. I mean, it might be simpler than just are we too smart for the world? That sounds like, well, you know, maybe we're just too smart for everybody, as opposed to, you know, obviously the President Bush could say the invasion was fine in Iraq, but the occupation wasn't. The surge worked. President Obama has a more lofty explanation, according to Ben Rhodes.
Yeah, look, you know, one of the things that people who don't particularly like President Obama have often found alienating about him is that he seems to, you know, want to lecture other people on how they should feel or what they should, you know, support, rather than try to bring them along or convince them of his point of view. That may or may not be fair, but that is, I think, the visceral reaction a lot of people have to him. And what you just said, I think, and the interpretation of what Ben Rhodes said is probably fits into that. You know, we were just too early, or you know, we didn't do. You know, the country didn't see how smart our policies were, right?
Yep. Peter Baker, thanks so much for your quality time. Continue to get the big stories in America. Appreciate it, Peter.
Always great talking to you. Take care. Thanks very much.
You got it. When we come back, we'll take your phone calls, 1-866-408-7669. Don't move. Brian Kilmeade Show.
Politics, current events, and news that affects you. Brian's got a lot more to say. Stay with Brian Kilmeade.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-545-0785. That's 1-800-545-0785. Again, 1-800-545-0785.
Here's a special message for those of you who owe the IRS at least $10,000 or more in back taxes. The IRS has special programs in place that could eliminate or reduce your tax debt by thousands of dollars. Call the Federal Tax Management Helpline that has been set up for you, 800-233-8540. Stop the wage garnishments, levies, and tax liens now. Once you've qualified and enrolled, the IRS will stop all the collection activities against you. These unique programs have been allocated to help the economy and significantly reduce or eliminate your tax burden. The IRS is currently accepting reduced settlements and other favorable programs. You may qualify for substantial savings, so get the help you need. If you owe more than $10,000 in taxes, call for free information and to see if you qualify. Take down the number now for the Federal Tax Management Hotline, 800-233-8540. That's 800-233-8540. 800-233-8540.
This is Fox on Justice. As relations begin to thaw between North and South Korea, as President Trump discusses a possible meeting with North Korea's leader, two grief-stricken parents ask for justice for Otto. The parents of Otto Warmbier filed a federal wrongful death suit against the government of North Korea. Otto Warmbier was the college student who was held captive in North Korea for 17 months. The parents claim Otto was brutally tortured and only released and allowed to return to the U.S. when he was near death.
Otto was on the stretch across in the plane, and he was jerking violently, making these inhuman sounds.
Fred Warmbier talking to Fox News last September.
North Korea is not a victim. They're terrorists.
They destroyed him. They
purposely and intentionally injured Otto.
The suit may not be successful, but it does allow the family an opportunity to remind the world, what about Otto? With Fox on Justice, Hank Weinblum, Fox News.
From Fox News Talk, here's another sound memory.
Although Neil Hefti was a big band trumpeter and composer for the movies The Odd Couple and Barefoot in the Park, he will always be best remembered as the composer of the iconic theme of the 1960s superhero TV series Batman. The theme was released as a single, won a Grammy Award in 1966, and became a top 40 radio hit.
Stay tuned to hear more sound memories on Fox News Talk. This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1995. Mike Tyson.
In the last 3 years, I had the chance to reflect on my life and develop my mind, and I will continue my journey to making myself a better person.
Frustrating for firefighters because there are some areas where we're reaching and touching people, but we just can't get to them.
The bombing in Oklahoma City was an attack on innocent children and defenseless citizens. It was an act of cowardice, and it was evil.
I did not, nor to my knowledge, did anyone else in the White House destroy, mishandle, or misappropriate any document in Vincent Foster's office.
The White House has contended that the Clintons were passive investors in Whitewater. The facts are otherwise.
If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
News as it happens then.
News as it happens now.
This is Fox News Talk.
Hey, we're back. Got a few minutes to take some calls, but I also want to go over a few of the things that we did not get to yet. We know we had some midterms yesterday. The whole so-called jungle primary had a lot of Democrats scared because so many Democrats were running in these primaries. The top two vote-getters would go against each other. So they're looking to take that 7 to 10 Republican seats that they had there and convert them to Democratic seats in a very Democratic state. But there were so many Democrats running, it was siphoning off a lot of the votes. Then in no district where two Democrats or two Republicans emerge. So it's going to be a runoff. In terms of taking Dana Rohrabacher's seat, good luck with that. He doubled anybody else that approached, despite his dicey connections, his unorthodox way. It looks like he'll hold on to it. And the Republican is favored to hold on to Daryl Issa's seats. But if this whole House is going to flip, the House is going to flip mainly, I wouldn't think there's an excellent chance it'll do it, because of how everything goes in California. Here's Chris Steirwalt last night on what the results that he had seen at the time and what it means. Cut 12.
The Republicans have seven races on the line, seven seats on the line in California. They could very easily lose all seven of them. Now, I don't think that they probably will in the end. The Democrats may lock themselves out someplace, and fortune favors the bold. Somebody's going to figure out a way somewhere in one of those seven districts to hold on and do it. But the Democrats look to gain substantially in California. To hold those seats, and Chad mentioned this too about Kevin McCarthy, they're going to have to airdrop. It's going to be like the Berlin airlift in Orange County. They're going to have to dump millions and millions and millions of dollars to try to hold the line in those seats and get voters out.
We'll see how much that'll mean and what it means for November. A lot of money will be spent. That can only mean one thing. The president has tweeted once again, twice.
This just in, another Trump tweet.
Tweeting.
Here we go. Four reporters spotted Melania. This is a couple of minutes ago. Four reporters spotted Melania in the White House last week walking merrily along to a meeting. They never reported the sighting because it would hurt the sick narrative that she was living in a different part of the country, well, or world, was really ill, or whatever fake news is really bad. He went on. Many more Republican voters showed up yesterday than the fake news thought possible. That's political pundits just don't get what is going on out there, as they don't get it but refuse to report the facts. Remember, Dems are high tax, high crime, easy to beat. People want to, they don't want to acknowledge one thing, and I'll say this. That President Trump won. They still want to say that Russia won for President Trump. And this is proving, as everything's still neck and neck, despite history, that that's just not true. John Kirikou joins us. His story, fascinating. Bruce Fine, his experience, engaging. Don't move.
Okay, gang. So, chances are there'll never be an emergency ever, ever again.
Mm-hmm.
But, just in case, let's talk about a plan.
Okay.
So, who's gonna do what? Anyone? Yeah, okay, perfect. We'll figure it out as we go. So, who is going to grab the go bag?
What's a go bag?
It is a bag we do not have that is filled with things we really, really need in an emergency.
Guess we won't have to worry about it then.
Ah, good point. So, we all know who to call if something happens then, right?
I'd have to call Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
And I will try to call all of you, but Greg doesn't have a cell phone. Dad's phone will have a dead battery.
No doubt.
And Julie will be on the phone with Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
Well, this is great. I am so glad that we don't have a plan.
I know.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency, who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
All right. I know this isn't any fun to talk about, but we should. So, who's going to do what? Flashlights?
Nowhere to be found.
Where to be found. Batteries?
Dead.
Great. Emergency supply kits?
Not packed.
No. What about blankets?
We have an old towel.
Good enough. Cell phones?
May not work.
Emergency water?
Not a drop.
And what about food?
Nope.
Perfect. We all know where we're meeting if we're separated, yeah?
The library!
Aunt Joan's house.
The bus stop.
Great. And I'll be waiting here wondering where you all are. Sounds like we don't have a plan. Who's up for mini golf?
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency. Who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
A single ember from a wildfire can travel over a mile. It can ignite and destroy your home and even your community. To that ember, all those branches hanging over your roof might as well be giant matchsticks ready to spark. The pile of dry leaves and twigs clogging your gutters are the perfect kindling to start a fire. and all those debris piles and brush around your yard which you haven't taken care of yet are pure lighter fluid, ready to ignite. There are some fire hazards that aren't clearly marked, and they can impact you and your neighbors. Learn to spot them, because your home is better protected from wildfire damage when your whole community is prepared. Visit fireadapted.org for more tips on how to get started adapting your home and community to wildfires. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
In 1971, Margaret Thatcher, then a member of Parliament, addressed the ability of women to be successful in government. This was 8 years before she became Prime Minister.
Now, I've heard this argument frequently, that women are really rather more emotional than men. Really, women are intensely practical. Again, I don't mean that flippantly. We are an intensely practical sex. We often get on with the job. We don't always talk about it as much as men. We get on doing it. But women are very much more modest in running for Parliament than men. Nothing like as many of them put up, as you know.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
A Dallas police officer makes the Dean's List for comforting a 3-month-old after being pulled out alive from an overturned vehicle. Officer Donald Boyce was captured cradling the infant in images taken by a Fox 4 news photographer, which have since gone viral. Officer Boyce says it was a natural reaction.
That could be my child, too, and I'd want somebody treating my child the same way.
The car was traveling at a high speed when it hit an object in a downtown Dallas construction zone, causing the vehicle to flip. There were 3 children inside, ages 5, 2, and the 3-month-old, along with their parents. The father suffered a fractured arm and a head injury, but everyone else in the car, including the 3-month-old child, appeared to be okay. Officer Boyce is being praised for his quick thinking and his compassion. Thank you, Officer Boyce, for going above and beyond the call of duty, spreading kindness and love. Janice Dean, Fox News.
The more you listen, the more you'll know. It's Brian Kilmeade.
All right. Normally when we talk about a history book, I will wait to talk, leave news at, I'll start with news and go the other way. I'm going to start with history because this book is so cool. Dan Abrams, you see him all around. You see him on ABC mostly, whether it's on the Sunday shows or Good Morning America, when you Fox and Friends is in a commercial, of course. But Dan Abrams has written Lincoln's Last Trial, the murder case that propelled him to the presidency. And then we'll talk about all the other stuff, the Stormy Daniels and Rudy Giuliani's comments and the summit that comes up. Dan, congratulations.
Thank you.
Where did you get the passion for this trial in particular?
Well, I said, my goodness, Kilmeade can write these incredibly successful books. Come on. I got to be able to do this, too.
So here's the thing. That should be the voice in your head that you don't say on live radio. But you said, if Kilmeade can do it, anyone can do it?
No, so it's actually an amazing trial, and it is the only transcript that exists of any case Lincoln ever argued.
Right.
Transcript is only found in 1989. So it's literally in the garage of the great-grandson of the defendant in a chewed-up box in a yellow bow, and they find it in 89, a 100-page transcript of a compelling murder trial that Lincoln tried, every word that he uttered in that courtroom, and it was a footnote to history.
Right. So obviously, you know, he was a lawyer, but what about this case in particular? Yeah. Set up the case.
So this was a case where there were two friends, neighbors, both in their early 20s in Illinois, got into a spat. Unclear exactly what started it, but they start talking trash. Basically, one guy, the guy ultimately became the victim, Greek Crafton, is basically saying he's going to whip, he's going to stamp the defendant. The defendant tells friends, and it's not to each other, it's through other people. And so the defendant says to friends, well, if he does that, I'll kill him. The other guy says, oh, yeah, you know, and they keep talking through people. So the defendant, who's smaller, goes and borrows a knife and brings it with him because he's worried Greek Crafton's going to attack him. Well, lo and behold, he was right. So he's sitting in a kind of a diner.
Greek Crafton's brother sitting in the back. Greek walks in, walks right up to Peachy Quinn Harrison, goes after him. A fight ensues. Peachy pulls out the knife, stabs him, stabs his brother. His brother survives and ends up being the key witness testifying against him. So the claim is self-defense. It's a really interesting case. Like
even for you.
Yeah, even, even put Lincoln out of this. It's an interesting case.
Yeah.
And so we take this case, we take the transcript, and we've now created the whole story around it. And most importantly, we do it through the eyes of the transcriber. And this is the transcriber who transcribed the Lincoln-Douglas debates for Lincoln. This was a brand new field at the time. Mm-hmm. People didn't transcribe trials. And so it was really unusual that you had any transcript of a case, much less one of Lincoln, that no one was talking about.
So he's defending.
He's defending him.
But it's compelling.
Am I going to give away the ending?
Well, put it this way. He's defending him. He is. You find it compelling. I get that. But this is the subtitle is what hooked me. The murder case that propelled him to the presidency.
Right.
Set the scene. He had the Douglas debates, but he lost that race, right? No one's thinking he's going to be the next president of the United States.
That's exactly right. So now you're 9 months before the Republican nomination. Lincoln still...
I couldn't say he lost the Douglas debate. I'm saying he lost the race for the Senate seat.
For Senate, yeah. And so Lincoln's kind of fate, meaning Lincoln got a lot of publicity for the Lincoln-Douglas debates. And then the publicity kind of faded a little bit. This is the case that brought him back into the public eye to some degree. Now, he was still being asked after the Lincoln-Douglas debates to go give speeches and this. But this now, he's now being covered again because he wasn't a national figure at mm-hmm. this point. He was sort of well-known, but he was not, you know, put it this way, one of the witnesses in this case was more famous than Lincoln. So a preacher named Peter Cartwright. So Lincoln is now back in the spotlight mm-hmm. in the context of this trial. He had everything to lose by taking this. Imagine this. You represent a guy who the community all wants to be convicted. The community wanted this guy convicted. You take that kind of controversial case 9 months before the Republican convention. Think about someone doing that today. Oh, I'm going to represent some controversial defendant 9 months before I'm going to try and become president.
No, I mean
it would never happen.
Yeah, I mean people didn't want to go to a baseball game. They don't want to blow it. They don't want to do anything legislatively. They don't want to do anything. So Lincoln, as a lawyer, you know, you dedicate this book to your dad.
Yeah,
because you love the law, you grew up in the law, and I think you and Judge Napolitano are probably the clearest ones breaking down the law for people like me who don't go to law school out there today. But you're looking at this, and can you give me your analysis of Lincoln the lawyer prior to what we all know him as Lincoln the president?
We see the development of Lincoln the lawyer over time. Meaning back then you didn't have to go to law school; you just got a certificate. Someone basically said you're a person of honor. Lincoln studied on his own. He became a lawyer in the late 1830s, and he got better over time. And this was the last case, so this was the highlight, to some degree, of his career. He did all kinds of different cases. He did bankruptcy cases. He did divorce cases. He represented railroads. He even represented a slave owner in one case. So he did all different kinds of cases, and I think the sort of the hallmark was he was not the statutes guy. He was the courtroom guy. He was the guy who could bond with the jury. He was the one who was the everyman, who could walk in there wearing the same kinds of clothes as the jurors were wearing and be able to really relate to the people.
That's amazing, too, because he looked like anything but the common man, right?
Well, you know, look, but...
He didn't have that charisma necessarily.
No, that's right. And, like, people would make fun of him about his clothes. And, you know, about how they didn't fit right.
They called him an ape.
Yep. No, that's exactly right. So it was, you know, I think that's part of his charm was the way he didn't think about
the everyman,
what he wore, et cetera.
And the Lincoln that you research, you talk about his partner, Billy Herndon, who wrote a book years later mm-hmm. about the Lincoln that they knew and had bouts with depression. You also point out that in the courtroom, the man that kept his cool during the Civil War lost it in the courtroom.
Yeah. So there was a point in this case where there was a critical hearing over whether Peter Cartwright could testify. And the reason it was so important is he had counseled the victim before he died. And he says that on his deathbed, in effect, he said, I brought this upon myself. I forgive Peachy Quinn Harrison. Well, you know, that's a huge statement. And the judge initially wasn't going to allow it in. And Lincoln went bananas. And we have all the quotes from people who were there, including from Herndon, including from the court crier, who watched how angry
Lincoln got. Court crier?
Sorry?
What is that?
Oh, the person who's basically the, you know, the court clerk, in effect.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's so interesting.
Yeah. So it's the person who would call the court into crying, meaning call the court into session.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hear ye, the court is now judge, you know. We begin the proceedings.
Dan Abrams wrote Lincoln's Last Trial. He's just going over it now before we talk about today's legal hurdles, and there are a few of them before we leave. So everyone knows Lincoln. We grow up him in Washington. We learn about him. I don't think there's any more president that has written more about outside Washington than there is Lincoln. What, Dan, did you learn about him when you stopped the research and finished the book that you thought I never would have known had I not taken this case?
I think it was, to me, the parallel between Lincoln in 1859 at the height of his legal career and then knowing Lincoln, the insecure president in the first year of his presidency. The fact that, you know, you have this confident attorney who's now mastered his craft, and a year later, he's president. He's never led anything, really. He's making, you know, some missteps. There's a lack of confidence on his part in that first year, both in terms of, you know, who he's picking for his cabinet, in the way that the Union is pursuing the war. And Lincoln then develops that confidence again in the presidency that he developed as a lawyer. And I guess to me that was really interesting to see the parallels.
Right. The biggest thing, too, he knew I can't start the Civil War and just say all the slaves are free. He would have lost half the North.
Well, and he would have lost, and most importantly, the mid-states that hadn't decided yet which side to go on.
Yeah.
And Lincoln's major concern was losing the Delawares and the Virginia, et cetera.
Right.
And if he lost them, he was really afraid that that could be the beginning of the end.
Right. Frederick Douglass was so impatient and wondered. He said, guys, hold on. It's coming. We got to pick the right time. And when he did it, obviously it was the right time. Half the country had left by the time he took office. A lot of people think that Lincoln divided the country. No, by the time after he won, half the country seceded.
Yep.
So by the time he gets to Washington, he didn't know if he was going to be kidnapped and killed. He had no protection.
There was all sorts of concerns about one of the problems on the military front was that they always felt the need to protect Washington, right? There was always the concern that the Confederates were going to come in and take over Washington. And so every time there was talk with McClellan and some of the other generals about how to move forward, they always had to stop for a second and say, well, wait a sec, are we okay in Washington?
Yeah.
And they were really worried on a day-to-day basis about that.
All right, Dan, stick around. Dan Abrams is here. Lincoln's Last Trial is the name of the book. Father's Day, perfect time to go grab this. The murder case that propelled him to the presidency. And if you said you haven't heard it before, you're right, because as Dan just mentioned, they didn't even find this paperwork until 1989. Back in a moment, Brian Kilmeade Show.
It's Brian Kilmeade. Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-545-0785. That's 1-800-545-0785. Again, 1-800-545-0785. Here's a special message for those of you who owe the IRS at least $10,000 or more in back taxes. The IRS has special programs in place that could eliminate or reduce your tax debt by thousands of dollars. Call the Federal Tax Management Helpline that has been set up for you, 800-233-8540. Stop the wage garnishments, levies, and tax liens now. Once you've qualified and enrolled, the IRS will stop all the collection activities against you. These unique programs have been allocated to help the economy and significantly reduce or eliminate your tax burden. The IRS is currently accepting reduced settlements and other favorable programs. You may qualify for substantial savings, so get the help you need. If you owe more than $10,000 in taxes, call for free information and to see if you qualify. Take down the number now for the Federal Tax Management Hotline, 800-233-8540. That's 800-233-8540. 800-233-8540.
Chris, can you put the video game controller down for a second?
I can talk and play. Oh, I'm totally annihilating this punk kid in Nebraska.
I just feel like you're not acting like a grown-up in our relationship.
M2!
Well, you know, you still ride your skateboard to work, there's the comic book collection, the race car bed.
Look, I'm young at heart, but I put money into my 401k every paycheck. I picked up a few savings tips at feedthepig.org. I have control over my financial life now, and that feels pretty grown up.
I put away a few bucks, feel like a million bucks. Putting some money from every paycheck into a savings account or contributing to your 401k can make a big difference later. For free ideas and easy tips on ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's
feedthepig.org. So, I bet I look like a grown up to you now.
Well, except for the footy pajamas, I'd have to agree.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Hey, is that a faucet running?
Nope, that's not a faucet. That's a river rushing through the forest.
It is?
Yeah, forest rivers provide over 100 million people with clean water to drink. The water comes straight from the forest to us, in fact.
What? I can't hear you because of the vacuum.
That's not a vacuum. That's the trees in the forest cleaning up the air we breathe.
How do trees clean the air?
They soak up the dirty air on their leaves, branches, and trunks, which means clean air for us.
Cool. I didn't know that.
Yep. But the forest does more than give us clean air and water. It gives us shade for hot days, birds to listen to, and trees to climb.
Wow, that's awesome. I didn't know how cool the forest could be. Hey, let's go explore some more.
Visit the forest today and enjoy all it does, just for you. To learn more about the forest and find one near you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
The Inspector General is inspecting me and looking at my conduct in the course of the email investigation, which I know this sounds like a crazy thing to say. I want that inspection because I want my story told because some of it's classified. But also, if I did something wrong, I want to hear that. I don't think I did, but yeah, I've been interviewed and I'm sure I'll be interviewed again.
Well, now it turns out some leaks to ABC, which was confirmed by our own Catherine Herridge, as James Comey is going to be accused in the Inspector General report of defying authority at times during the investigation into Hillary Clinton's use of private server, citing a draft of the IG report ABC got a look at. Some have speculated because they feel it's being changed right now or sanitized by the FBI and DOJ. So Comey ignored those objections and did it anyway. So you could say insubordination. It brings us back to his famous press conference in July that he did, where he said, look at all everything Hillary did wrong, but we're not going to move forward. With us right now to try to make sense of all of this still, Dan Abrams, author of Lincoln's Last Trial, the murder case that propelled him into the presidency. Dan, where's your level of interest in getting to the bottom of the of what the IG report is about to release?
Oh, I think it's really important. I think that if the IG is going to determine, as it seems they will, that Comey, you know, made mistakes, shouldn't have done what he did. It sounds like the focus is more on October, though. It's on the reopen. It's on the announcement of the reopening of the investigation that Comey's going to get in trouble. And the reason for that is, at least, you know, again, according to the reporting, is that he had been effectively told, warned, you know, don't do that again, what you did in July. And then he goes and does it again. Now, we'll see if that ends up being the case. But let's be clear, though. What Comey did in October hurt Hillary Clinton, right? I mean, it was devastating to Hillary Clinton. So you can say, rightly, you know, rightly or wrongly, that Comey shouldn't have done that. And it may have been insubordination, as they point out. If he had been told not to do it and he did it, that's insubordination. Mm-hmm. And that was the reasoning that Rod Rosenstein used for the firing of Comey. That was the Rosenstein memo. Was all about how he handled the Hillary Clinton investigation. And, you know, that's a separate issue from Russia.
So, true. Are you curious at all about how the Wiener laptop, they find, they're investigating, the story goes, they're investigating Anthony Wiener for what he did and got himself in a legal problem. Right. As they're going through his laptop, they see all these Hillary Clinton emails. What the explanation was, Uma Abedin downloaded it, asked to print it out. Whatever the story is, they're there. So action has to be taken. Do you agree with that?
That
Hillary Clinton's emails are on a laptop
right,
outside
until they know, when they find out about this, right, I think that, of course, they have to continue to investigate. But it doesn't mean that they have. And let me be clear. Let me first answer the question. It doesn't mean, though, that he has to announce it. He has to go out and pronounce. Oh, by the way, because they were able to very quickly realize that these were duplicates and whatever the case may be, that it was nothing. You know, there was nothing new there for them. With that said, I don't want to seem hypocritical because I was actually saying that I kind of understood what Comey did in both cases at the time. I'm not saying that I supported it per se, but this was a kind of novel situation with Loretta Lynch having her hands effectively tied behind her back. So did Comey do the right thing announcing it in July and October? I don't know. If he was told not to do it, then he definitely didn't do the right thing in October.
But you wonder if Loretta Lynch, who probably told him not to do it.
Well, that's the question, right?
Is she compromised because she has a horse in this race?
Well, whether she has a horse in the race or not, I mean, she was seen as compromised, right? I mean, she was seen as, you know, there was an issue.
Let me fast forward to something that's not in the news. When the Inspector General comes out, 500 pages, there's going to be stuff there for everybody, and I'm sure some new things. It's probably going to come out in 2 weeks. The delay is still a mystery. However, the whole debate on a spy. Back to Washington Post yesterday, more information about this Cambridge professor and what he was doing and how his timeline didn't add up. First, does Dan Abrams, when he found out the Cambridge professor has been dispatched to try to find out what's going on with the Russian investigation, do you look at that professor as a spy?
No.
Why?
Because it's what the FBI does every day. We don't call them spies. We don't call the people who cooperate with the FBI. If we start calling everyone who cooperates with the FBI a spy, no one's going to cooperate with the FBI.
But he's working for the FBI. Do you
not
agree
working
with that?
For it. We don't know if he's getting paid. I mean, look, he is assisting the FBI in the context of the investigation. And you know what? I say bravo to the people who assist the FBI in investigations.
What if they were investigating you?
I would say, you know what? If they had a good reason to investigate me, and there was it's not like they just picked it out randomly. They had information which led them to say, we want to learn more about this, which is the reason that people like Trey Gowdy and others are coming out saying, look, everything we've seen suggests that this was perfectly normal.
In what way?
In the sense that when the FBI gets information about a possible crime, and they're considering an investigation, they want to know more about it.
So,
and the timeline about when the investigation.
Informant and, do you agree it's an informant?
Yeah.
And the difference between an informant and spy is?
Is that a spy is someone who is being, you know, dispatched to typically foreign countries, right? Someone who's trying to get information.
Like England?
Or wherever. Yeah. I mean, look, but the notion that a informant. There's nothing to indicate. Let me rephrase. There's nothing to indicate that anything he did or was asked to do was anything out of the ordinary for what the FBI would do in any investigation. And so if the answer is anyone who assists the FBI is a spy, Fine. Let's call every informant a spy.
Do you know he got six figures over the last 2 years from the FBI?
Okay.
So that means he is getting paid.
Okay.
To do work. So the FBI is looking into his campaign. Has, would you say, infiltrated?
No, they didn't infiltrate the campaign. They were basically, look, when people do bad things who happen to work for a person, or not work for them, or formerly worked for them, whatever the case may be, that's, they're subjecting themselves to a possible investigation. This notion that they were sort of in there looking at what was happening to me is completely unsupported.
But they were looking.
Yeah. Because they had evidence.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-545-0785. That's 1-800-545-0785. Again, 1-800-545-0785.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1972.
John Dean.
I guess I'd have to say that it was probably the opening act of one of America's great tragedies.
Elvis had a hard time dealing with mother and the little girl that I was to him. To show any kind of vulnerability or insecurity to me was not macho. It was not something that he felt I should see. So our communication was horrible.
We mourn our Israel friends, victims of this brutal assault. The Olympic flag and the flags of all the world fly at half-mast. The greater and the more important the Olympic Games become, the more they are open to commercial, political, and now criminal pressure.
News as it happens.
News as it happens.
This is Fox News Talk.